right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are high above downtown Chicago. We are here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich is at 5, and he's got the opening bell, and then the great Steve Cochran at 6. With your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. That's for talk and text. And it's Wild Card Wednesday. You're here, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your Wild Card Wednesday requests in. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Request now. We'll play them a little bit later. 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter, at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected, though, is on our Facebook page. So like us right now, facebook.com/Nick D Show. There you go. I got a packed show this morning. Coming up in just a few minutes, our good friend Rick Geezer, who is waiting in the PPG Paints Green Room, the great PPG Paints Green Room. He'll be joining us for another edition of Sports Songs. This time it's a hockey edition because hockey season has just begun. And the Hawks are looking crazy. Within their first three games, all three went to OT. They got 5 out of a possible 6 points, which is a nice way to start the season. So hockey season has begun, so we're going to have a special hockey edition of Sports Songs with Rick Geezer. He'll be live in studio. We'll get him up, take him from the PPG Paints Green Room and bring him in, and we'll have a great time. Also, a little bit later on, after the 2:30 news, Matthew Hoffman is going to join us. He's our good friend. He's the programmer for the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. And on Thursday, October 18th, he's going to be hosting 2 screenings of The Bride of Frankenstein. And get this, Sarah Karloff, the daughter of Boris Karloff, is going to be there in attendance for both screenings. There's a 2 p.m. matinee and a 7:30 show. Tickets are on sale right now, parkridgeclassicfilm.com. And it's at the beautiful Pickwick Theater. And Parkridge Theater Classic Film Series begins on October 18th, and we'll hear about that and more with Matthew Hoffman to talk about that. And then Jim Chilson is going to join us. He is the communications director for the Citizens Utility Board. Citizens Utility Board works to get lower rates and to get better services from our state's utility companies. They've saved a lot of people a lot of money over the years. There's going to be an online quiz that you can take that you could possibly win $100 and a discount on your bills. And you can check out their website at citizensutilityboard.org. It's a great, great, great organization. And we'll talk to Jim again coming up after the 3 o'clock news. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees were announced. And we'll get into that. And talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the nominees and all that cool stuff. So that's all happening again. 312-981-7200 for talk and text and for your Wild Card Wednesday requests, which is any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. All right. Let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagrew. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
Good, man. How about yourself?
All right. Did you have a good Tuesday?
It was an all right Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You're looking
forward to a Wild Card Wednesday?
Oh, you know it. It is always wild.
Yeah. I like it when people request weird, obscure TV themes.
Yes.
You know, and maybe we can get Dave to perform that. What the hell is the name of that?
In Time.
Yeah. Get him to perform that again.
We do average a TV theme at least 2 or on the heavy side 3 or 4, but usually
right.
At least one comes in.
I know. It's
every Wild Card Wednesday.
Every Wild Card Wednesday. So that's it. 312-981-7200.
And the beauty of Wild Card Wednesday, since we're singing its praises, is the fact that I love you hear songs that aren't on the radio anymore.
Right.
You know? I mean, like, you can request a song that you love, but there's nowhere else in Chicago, let alone the nation, let alone the world, you hear that song. So, God bless Esmeralda Leon.
We are providing a service. So there you go. That's coming up here. And in the newsroom, it's Vic Vaughn. Vic, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Nick.
Good, man. Good.
How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. And you are in the newsroom being newsy.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I was just doing that.
Yeah. You know, I have noticed, Vic, as you have, that the newsroom has become basically a candy store.
Yeah, it's like a sugar buffet here.
It is. It's like there's a...
It's like a crack house only for people addicted to sugar.
Exactly. It is.
And it's just a revolving door. They come through here
people
and
just
snort
come
it
through,
and leave.
Grab a bunch of stuff and leave. There's candy all over the place. And it's not just because it's Halloween. It's been like that for months. So, Yeah.
And I see everybody when they're at their bottom of their crash and they need it. So they're aggravated and I get all.
So. I need my sugar rush and I need it now. Yeah. Get out of the way, Vaughn.
I just throw it at people now when I walk in.
And then just walk in and get out of the way, Vaughn. I need my double bubble. So, yeah. But I just find that interesting. And it's at the station you're sitting at, too. So people come in right at the other on the other side of the mic where you are. That's where they load up on the sugar and the candies.
Without even realizing it, I start to go into the spiel. Today we have the dots over here on the right. Over here we have the bubble gum, the bubble yum, and then your...
Red vines
how
are
much,
a big
how
one.
How much are you being paid by this candy
Nothing,
store,
Dan. Not a thing.
You're a natural salesman.
Well, the candy store is open for business while
Ooh, maybe I should play that song when people come in.
Yeah.
Candyman.
Candyman, that would be good. You can play that. As soon as people come in, it just starts playing. But Vic, besides being near all the candy, he will also be reporting on the news all morning long. So there you go. So that's what's happening on the show this morning. Again, Rick Easer is going to be joining us. He just came in from the PPG Paints Green Room. Matthew Hoffman will tell us about his screening of The Bride of Frankenstein, and Jim Chilson will tell us about how you can save money on your utilities. That's all coming up on the show, and I will complain about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. It's all coming up. Wildcard Wednesday continues at 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. When we come back, Rick Easer will be here, and we'll have the hockey edition of Sports Songs. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we are back, and it is a Wednesday morning, and it means Wildcard Wednesday, so get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Coming up later in the show, Matthew Hoffman is going to join us from the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series to talk about his two screenings of Bride of Frankenstein, one of the greatest movies ever made. And Jim Chilson is going to join us from the Citizens Utility Board to tell us how we can save some dough on our utility bills. Right now, though, it is time for another edition of Sports Songs with our good friend Rick Easer. And we're doing, the hockey season has just started. And so we thought, let's do a hockey version of Sports Songs. And let's welcome Rick to the show. Hello, Rick.
Hello. Thank you. I think this is going to be a 5 point out of 6 point episode.
You know, that game last Thursday was one of the craziest things ever. It was that third period was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane. The last 4 minutes of the game, not the game, but the last 4 minutes of the third period of regulation.
Correct.
Was nuts.
With the two Kane goals.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts. I mean, it was crazy. They won, they lost, which was a disappointment. But, five out of six in your first three games, and all three go to OT. That's a heck of a way to start
it's
the season.
Not bad. It's going to be an exciting year.
It is. I really hope so. I really hope so. I know the offense is, I've been having some issues with how they're playing in their own zone. That's a little problematic. And, I'm hoping Crow comes back soon and is in tip-top shape because I think the offense is there. Taves is on fire, which he's playing better.
He's needed to be.
Absolutely, because he didn't have a great season last
year.
So we're back, and it's all hockey. First of all, tell everybody what Sports Songs is.
Sports Songs are any songs produced and performed by an athlete, a player, a coach, a referee, an owner. People of all those categories have recorded songs at one point or another, and we've probably played them over the last 10 years I've been appearing.
It's crazy. So we're going to concentrate strictly on hockey, one, because it's my favorite sport, and two, because it's hockey time. And what did we hear coming out of the break there?
Well, nothing is better than hockey and disco. Would you agree? I think so. And a legendary hockey player, Guy Lafleur, put out an album in 1979 where he combined hockey and disco and hockey instruction in French.
Yeah.
So I handed you a copy of the LP. Yes, the LP, the album.
Yep.
And it includes an instruction booklet, which with some pictures and you can position how to position your skates, how to position your stick.
Yeah, it's really cool. This is really cool. And then the big booklet is actually the size of the record. So it's like it slides.
Yeah, and
into
it's
the
a double. It's a the whole gatefold.
Gatefold album. But it's very, very cool. And the instructions and the pictures are all there. They're in English and French.
They are. And there was a version that was produced in English, but I thought for our sake, the French version would be more fun.
That's cool. All right. So we will be hearing songs, sports songs, as Rick has said, and they're all hockey related this morning. And, you know, Rick, speaking of hockey sports songs, and by the way, sportsongs.com is the website, and you're on Facebook, and then there are some podcasts available at WGRadio.com.
Yes.
Just want to make sure everybody knows that. And by the way, if you want to call in, if you have some sports songs suggestions, because you're always looking for new stuff.
Always looking for new stuff. I found some new stuff we'll play today.
Cool.
But there's always something out there that I've missed, so I'd like love your help.
Yeah, call or text at 312-981-7200. Before we get to... this edition, speaking of hockey, hockey sports songs, we're only a couple of months away from hearing Honky the Christmas Goose.
Honky the Christmas Goose, and we might, if you're interested, we could play the flip side today,
yes,
of Honky called the Banjo Mule.
That's right, that's right. And it's become the Honky the Christmas Goose has become a Christmas tradition as far as I'm concerned.
It certainly.
It's not Christmas until I hear Honky the Christmas Goose.
Definitely.
So, and we'll do that in a couple of months. All right, let's get to it. It's hockey time, it's sports songs time. Where do you want to start?
Why don't we start with track number 7? This is a player who has finally won. He's a superstar. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's finally a Stanley Cup winner. It's Alexander Ovechkin, and when you think Ovechkin, I think rap. And in 2012, he rapped in Russian.
Right. So that's what this is.
So why don't we check that out?
Alexander Ovechkin, Stanley Cup winning Alexander Ovechkin.
Из Вашингтона Александр Овечкин!
Воспитанник «Динамо», восьмерка на спине, в матчах всех звезд. Внимание на мне, 17 лет в сборной, 100 очков за сезон, золото в Канаде. В 2008-м, десятки лучших игроков, за 10 лет, в моих руках клюшка, в моих наушниках рэп. Передаю привет прямо из Вашингтона, вместе с Аней Белым для каждого чемпиона.
There you go.
That was from a song called Champion,
mm-hmm,
where Sasha Belyai, I think that's how you say her name, was the lead vocalist, but they threw the Ovechkin rap in the middle of it.
So, and there you go. That was Alexander Ovechkin. Was there a translation to what he was saying?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Probably.
I didn't know if it came along.
We are going to play a few things that are in foreign languages.
Yes.
So for our international listeners.
For our international listeners. Well, you know, hockey's a very international sport.
It is. We've heard French, we've heard Russian.
Is. That's right. We'll hear more, too. Yes. Coming up. Did you watch last season's SNL with Chance the Rapper?
Oh, yes, I did.
When
yes,
he played
yes.
the sports guy
yes,
who
yeah.
had to, you know, because the regular hockey correspondent was out.
Yeah, I was thinking last week, so I was like,
I don't remember. Last season.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chance the Rapper knew nothing about hockey.
Nothing.
It was still one of my favorite.
Nothing.
Still one of my favorite sketches of last year.
Yeah.
That was great. And then, like, he's interviewing Alex Moffitt, who's playing a hockey player, and he turns around to see his last name, and there's like consonants all together, and he's like, I have no idea what that last name is. No idea. It's very funny stuff. Okay, where do you want to go next?
Why don't we go to track 9? We'll go back in hockey history a little bit. In the 70s, one of the big teams were the Philadelphia Flyers, the Broad Street Bullies. They won Stanley Cup championships back-to-back in 74-75.
Yep.
That's big enough. But they were known for being actual bullies. And Dave Schultz was the leader of the Bullies.
Yeah.
I mean, he had records for the most penalty minutes that may still stand. But in 1975, he put out a song, a 45, called Penalty Box to kind of highlight his antics.
Major League Goon. Here we go.
Flyers penalty on number 8, Dave Schultz. 2 minutes for hooking, 2 minutes for roughing, 5 minutes for fighting.
Baby, how long will you keep me in the penalty box? Baby, I'm wrong, but it's lonely in the penalty box. I know I broke the rules, but rules are broken by fools. Baby, how long will you keep me in the penalty box? Love is like an ice hockey game, sometimes it can be rough. Girl, you got me so all aflame, I never, never get enough. Got me charging and cooking, holding and hooking, and then you blow the whistle on me. When you gonna let me go free? Don't you know how slow go the penalty clocks with their tickety tocks in the penalty box?
Yeah. It's so goofy. And it doesn't sound like a bully. You know what I mean? Like, that song does not have the sound of a, you know.
Not at all.
It's all chipper and, you know.
Exactly.
Hey, speaking of the Philadelphia Flyers, have we spoken about Gritty? The Philadelphia
Flyers? It's just weird. I don't know if I like it. I'm captivated by it, but it's just odd.
It is. I happen to love it. I think it's great. And I also love the fact that that Gritty has been getting national coverage on every talk show, all the late night shows he's appeared on. He appeared on John Oliver a couple of weeks ago. He was on Conan, where they were going to speak to the guy in the Gritty costume. He took the head off, and his face looked exactly the same.
Oh, I was going to say, you can't do that.
No, they had like a guy whose face features were pretty much the same, with his eyes bugging out and everything. Most people are terrified of him. They've been booing him at the stadium and stuff. His first time on the ice during a preseason game, he fell like 9 times on his butt, and then he like shot people with the t-shirt guns on ice, knocking people over. I love the guy. I love him. And according to legend, according to his story, his background, his father was a bully. So we don't know who it was. Maybe it was Dave Schultz.
She let him out of the penalty box, and he was...
There you go. All right, let's do one more before we break.
Okay, why don't we... let's see. Why don't we go to track 8? The legendary broadcaster and hockey raconteur up in Canada for Hockey Night in Canada is Don Cherry. Everybody knows him. Outlandish clothes, outlandish things to say about hockey. He put out a song in 1992 called Rock'em Sock'em Techno.
All right, here we go. I feel like I'm at a rave. I should have a glow stick right now. As Don Cherry did,
I've got an extra pacifier.
Was that he mentioned Probert in the first verse?
That's what it sounded like. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Okay. There you go, Don Cherry. Hang on, Rick. Rick Geezer is with us, and we're doing a special hockey edition of Sports Songs. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The news is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, the great Frank Pellico. And it is it's a Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. That is any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Matthew Hoffman is going to join us from the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series to talk about his two screenings of The Bride of Frankenstein. And then we're going to talk with Jim Chilson from the Citizens Utility Board. About Energy Awareness Month and much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are now in the middle of having some fun here with Rick Geezer and an edition of Sports Songs. It's the hockey edition because hockey season has just started. Rick, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
The great Frank Pellico.
Frank Pellico from his 1977 album, touching.
Yeah, there you go. So we are doing a sports song episode here that is all hockey related, and there's a lot of stuff here and a lot of fun stuff. So you want to jump right back into it, Rick? Where are we going next?
To track 122. And in 1992 and 1993, the Buffalo Sabres released a cassette with a couple songs on it to benefit the local Children's Hospital of Buffalo. And they recorded a couple songs, some parody songs related to the Buffalo Sabres with the Morning Circus Band. They were part of a radio show in Buffalo. And the first track we're going to hear, we might play both tracks, we'll try, but we're definitely going to hear this one right now. And it's a song called We Are the Buffalo Sabres, and you'll probably recognize the song.
Here we go.
Sabre fans, Buffalo Sabres, for Buffalo we will defend, fighting for the face-off, fighting in the playoffs, fighting for survival, fighting with the rivals. Randy Wood and Sweeney, Mike Ramsey and Alex Mogilney, Guy Brabray and Bradley May, Ken Sutton, Thomas and Presley,
Buffalo Sabres,
Budget to Howard Chuck.
That is hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious.
Bob Marley is turning.
Oh, like a lathe.
Yes.
And that was 92-93?
Yeah, including Palafontaine was on that team. Mike Ramsey, you heard him mention, former Miracle on Icer, he was on that team. Wayne Presley, who played a bit for the Hawks, he was on that team.
Yeah. And it's featuring, it's, by the way, this is a cassette.
I'm holding
the actual cassette in my hand. And it's the featuring the Morning Circus Band.
Yeah, they were part of like a morning zoo type thing in Buffalo.
But this is another one of these things we should probably, you know, explain that a lot of this stuff, they were one-offs and they would benefit a charity. They were for charities.
Exactly.
And a lot of this, like for this one I'm looking at, it says it benefits the Children's Hospital of Buffalo.
Exactly. And it was a great thing. It's just not many people really know about this. You do, you know, you find a lot of things you can find anything on Google.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't find a lot of information about this.
Yeah.
So I we're lucky. So
where'd you find that?
We have that. An online auction.
Online auction, yeah. You got that one. Okay. And that's a single from the Buffalo Sabres 92-93 season. And there's a flip side to it that we'll probably play a little bit later.
To play that, and I think it's equally as awesome.
All right. What do we got next?
361. Okay. This is a new song. I think you might like it as well. It's a current player, Micah. People are going to help me on this. He's the alternate captain right now for the New York Rangers, Micah Zibanejad. He's a Swedish player of Iranian descent. And when he's not playing hockey, he is a DJ, and he performs at clubs in his native land as well as around New York. Mm-hmm. And he put out this song last year called "Forever." He doesn't sing it; he does some of the instrumentation and the mixing, and he has a young lady doing the singing on it. But this is a song called "Forever."
All right, here it is.
Feelings that you're giving to me every day, forever, always changing, but they move in circles. There's no reason that I would change any of it anyway. It calls me back to you. Ooh, I try to keep giving the right signs, but things keep changing my mind. I'm hopeless, calling everything that you say. Call me back to you.
This is good, actually.
It's very good.
Yeah.
And there's been talk since he released it last year that there's going to be an album or additional tracks.
Yeah.
They haven't been released.
Yeah.
And he'll mention things on his Twitter feed.
Yeah.
But then it, you know, it doesn't seem to transpire.
Wow. Okay. No, that was really good. I mean, he's a DJ. And that sounded good. Instrumentation there, getting everybody going. All right, cool. That was cool. All right, where are we going next?
365. Right before the Sochi Olympics, the Russian hockey team and Russian hockey legends got together and they recorded a song to kind of pump up the team. And they put out a video, which is terrific if you have a chance to see it, because it has all kinds of vintage video of the team playing from black and white. It's terrific stuff to watch. Great hits, great action. And they put out this song, and I can't understand a word of it, but it is awesome.
Okay, so this is the 2014 Russian hockey team.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Бывают же порой на свете чудеса. Вышло будто шутки ради. Что лучшая игра для наших мужиков случайно родилась в Канаде.
And you said that this video that accompanies it is the video that accompanies this song is all the like classics,
all kinds of classic, and then you know they've got the you know a lot of the old time guys. The one guy I did recognize, it was Alexander Ovechkin.
He
is
sure.
in there.
He's in there
but
too.
There's a lot of the older guys, some of the guys who were part of the 1980 loss to the U.S. They were part of it as well.
Yeah.
And they're shackled, of course, and but but it's great to see the you know again we grew up in the time when it was CCCP you know you saw them, they were tough and they were strong
and they were
kind of like the character in Rocky. They were
Drago.
It's just fun to watch the video.
By the way, speaking of Drago, are you aware that Creed 2 is coming out?
I love Creed.
I did too, and I hope this is good. I don't think they needed a sequel, but in it, he fights Drago's son. So I mean, that's silly right there. But because I thought Creed, in fact, was the best Rocky movie since the original Rocky.
Yes.
And so this one seems a little more silly, but Dolph Lundgren is in it. So he plays his father. He's in the kids' ring. He's in the kids' corner. And so he and like Stallone at one point, he and Stallone at one point stand and look at each other like they did in Rocky.
Is Brigitte Nielsen also?
No, I don't think Brigitte Nielsen is in it. Not after the relationship that they had.
Oh wow!
So, but yeah, I mean, I've seen the trailer. You know, they've already got a couple
as
of trailers.
Preliminaries. Is he going to have to fight Mr. T's son and the Hulkster's son?
Yeah, the Hulk's Thunderlips Junior. So yeah, that comes out Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's I'll have to check that.
Yeah,
out.
We'll see how good that one is or how bad it is.
Right.
Okay. What do we got next?
Why don't we go to track 14? We just played a song by members of the Buffalo Sabres. Now, this was a guy who was part of the Buffalo Sabres in 1972, and he is now an assistant GM with the New York Rangers. His name was Jim Schoenfeld, and in 72 he put out an album called Shoney, and then in 74 he put out an album called The Key Is Love. And it's a song we've played in the past, but it's a fun song. It's called Barbecue in Heaven.
Right. Okay, here it is.
There'll be barbecue in heaven.
Judgment Day.
Shoney. And I've got the album in my hands right now.
And it was produced, and that song was co-written by a guy named John Valby, who's kind of legendary in music circles up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a comedy fan, he has toured around the country and many times in Chicago as Dr. Dirty. He would do...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Dr. Dirty. That's
Dr.
right.
Dr. Dirty.
Okay. And I'm looking at some of the other songs that are on this album. He covers a bunch of stuff, like All Along the Way. All Along the Watchtower, I Saw Her Standing There, Great Balls of Fire, Chain Gang, You Can't Do That, You Always Hurt the One You Love, and Hey Bulldog. He's got a few Beatles songs that Shoney has covered.
Well, if you want to play All Along the Watchtower, I have that here. It's track 158.
Oh,
if you
want
to put that on really quick.
Yeah, let me get to it here.
And that is something very special.
I bet. And where did you get this?
I found that at a used record store in Springfield, Illinois.
Okay.
And there's a great used record store just downtown, about a block or two away from the Capitol building, and it is incredible. It's the whole upstairs of an old downtown building, and if you're interested in comedy records, they have thousands.
All right.
If you're interested in rare R&B, they have them.
All right, well, let's hear this. This is All Along the Watchtower, Shoney's version.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen,
I think the Jimi Hendrix version is safe. I think.
I don't know. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, man. All right. So we're gonna take a break here, Rick.
Okay.
And then we'll come back, and we've got more hockey-related sports songs right here on 720 WGN. More after this. By the way, if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're back. That's Frank Pellico. We are having a fun time here with Rick Geezer. Sports Songs Hockey Edition. Coming up is Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell, and also coming out with the Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And that again was Frank Pellico. And we welcome Rick back. Rick, welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're talking hockey here, and we're listening to some songs. What do we got next?
Let's go to track 10. This is a former Blackhawk, but most well-known as a Boston Bruin. Phil Esposito, in 1979, he put out a record. One side was him. The other side was Marcel Dion, and they put out the songs, hockey-related songs, to benefit the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And the songs were written by, drumroll please, Alan Thicke.
Of course.
The legendary Alan Thicke.
Yes.
And the song we're going to hear is Phil Esposito, along with some of his teammates, John Davidson, Ron Duguay, Dave Maloney, and Pat Hickey. And they sing a song called The Hockey Sock Rock.
All right, Phil Esposito and The Hockey Sock Rock.
Throw down your stick, take off your gloves, grab that sweater and you're ready for love. It's The Hockey Sock Rock. It's The Hockey Sock Rock. Don't think twice, honey, break the ice. You gotta come and do The Hockey Sock Rock.
all night. I didn't get her home until about midnight. Her daddy was so mad he nearly clobbered me. How was I to know he was a referee? It's the hockey talk rock. It's the hockey talk rock. What do you think? Boogie down to the rink. You gotta come and do the hockey sock rock. Everybody's dancing to the hockey rock sound. Come on, get up, break away, get down. Pull on your socks, don't need no shoes. Slip and slide away those blues. And do the hockey sock rock. It's the hockey sock rock.
Wow.
You're my favorite chick.
All right. I love this. By the way, I'm holding the 45 in my hand, and it's pretty special. The pictures here are pretty special. And it's, by the way, they call themselves the Ranger Rockers. So that's what they call themselves. And that was the hockey soccer.
And then on the other side, the Marcel Dion song, which is Please Forgive My Misconduct Last Night,
right?
which you can play if you want. Track 11, it's the next one.
Okay.
It's by Dion and the Pucktones.
Okay, so this is called Please Forgive My Misconduct Last Night.
Right. Blew the whistle, you didn't think twice. You threw me out, you're cold as ice. You gotta believe me, I was out of control. I'll never break the rules again, cause you're my only goal. And you went on your dance. Please forgive my misconduct last night.
There you go.
Well, not to get serious or anything, but would a team attempt a song with that content in this day and age?
I don't think so. But, you know, I guess, you know, the whole misconduct thing, you know, relates to hockey.
Oh,
so,
I get it.
You know, but still. Wow. Okay. All right. What do we got next?
Why don't we go to track 18? We talked about this earlier. We're going to be playing it at the holiday. Johnny Bauer classic.
Yes.
We're going to play Honky the Christmas Goose. But why don't we listen to the flip side?
Okay, this is the flip side, right?
This is the flip side of Honky the Christmas Goose. And, of course, Johnny Bauer, Hall of Fame goalie for the Maple Leafs. He put out the song on the flip side of Honky called Banjo Mule. And it's not a Christmas song, but it's a children's song, but it's a lot of fun.
And it's Johnny Bauer right here.
Once I had a musical mule, he never worked a lick. But when he heard a banjo, he would raise his legs and kick. He'd kick to the left and then to the right, and then, by Jove, I swear, he'd sit down on his tail and kick straight up into the air.
Go down, mule, go down, mule, go down, mule, banjo, mule. Won't slow down, go down, go down, mule, I'd say.
When that old mule began to kick, I put away my banjo pick.
Go down, go down, go down, mule, I'd say. Paid me no attention, so I got myself a stick. But I just couldn't beat that mule, so I just let him kick. He kicked the tails off four, five wheels, he broke an elephant's back. He stopped the chess, he choo-choo train, he kicked it off the track.
Wow. So Johnny Bauer's music contributions all involve animals.
They do.
He's got a mule that kicks when banjos are played, and you got a very festive Christmas goose.
They are. The songs were both written by the same gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote several years ago, and unfortunately last year we lost Johnny Bauer.
Yeah.
I sent him a note several years ago asking, would you ever consider doing another song? And he wrote back saying, never.
No, just that was enough.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why? You can't top Honky the Christmas Goose.
You cannot top Honky.
So I think that's what he was thinking. He was thinking to himself, look, I've already done Honky the Christmas Goose, and I can't be better than that.
That is true.
So I'm not going to do another one. That's how it works. Yeah, no, when we lost him last year, I know we both posted on our social media like how sad we were, and I think you put up the picture of the cover of the...
Of the picture of the 45.
Yeah, of the 45 of Honky the Christmas Goose. And, yeah, but, yeah, that's too bad. And, and by the way, on Capitol Records...
Yes, Capitol Records in Canada.
Yeah.
What happened was, I guess some Capitol Records exec was a fan of the team, and they had this idea for the song, and they went through the locker room asking people, and he was the only one who agreed to it.
All right. And hang on, Rick. Rick is here, and we're going to have more fun stories and more songs. Sports Songs Hockey Edition will continue after this. Frank Pellico here as we come back. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on the 18th floor. And it's a Wednesday, so a wild card Wednesday. You're Wednesday, wild card Wednesday. Get your requests in, 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Hey, coming up after 2:30. Matthew Hoffman is going to join us. He's the programmer for the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series, and they've got a couple of screenings of the great film, The Bride of Frankenstein, coming up. We'll get all the details on that. Some special stuff associated with it and with it as well. Jim Chilson is going to join us after the 3 o'clock news. He's a communications director for the Citizens Utility Board, and they help lower rates for the state's utility companies and save people a lot of money. And there's some really interesting stuff to talk about with Jim. That'll be coming up after the 3 o'clock news. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive. We're playing a little Frank Pellico, and because we're doing some sports songs here. Rick Geezer's hanging out with us this morning. Sportssongs.com. You can find him on Facebook. There are some podcasts available at WGNRadio.com. And, Rick, welcome back.
Thank you very much. We're having fun playing hockey today.
That's right. Hockey.
We're checking around.
It's hockey sports songs this morning. All right. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go to track 156. We played something from this single earlier. The Buffalo Sabres in 1992 and 1993 put out a charity cassette. And we heard earlier, We're the Buffalo Sabres, kind of a parody of Buffalo Soldier by Bob Marley.
Right.
And now we're going to hear a song called Burning Down the Ice. Can you think of what what that's a parody of?
Let's see.
Oh, watch out! The Sabres coming at ya! That's right! The Sabres score a shutout! They're faster than my red Corvette! Burning down the ice! Robbery! The man's a psycho killer! Bradley! He's checking in the corners! LaFontaine's got a breakaway! Burning down the ice! The other team, they've got respect for fear and that should get the net.
It was for charity.
It was for charity.
It was for charity. Let's just keep that in mind.
It was for the Children's Hospital of Buffalo.
That's right. My God. All right. You know, it's interesting. Every time we have an edition of Sports Songs, we like to remind people that, you know, some of these are bad. Some of them are so bad they're awesome. And some of them are actually really legitimately good.
Correct.
And it goes through that whole spectrum.
And some of the, you know, they're not even really interested in doing it.
Yeah.
They're just doing it for the charity. And some, like the next song we're going to play, they're really trying. Now, is it good or bad? That's something you need to think of. We're going to go to track 166, and it's legendary hockey star Theo Fleury.
Mm.
And in 2015, he put out an album called I Am Who I Am. It's not the Popeye story, but it's, you know, all about his struggles and, you know, very well well documented what he went through as a youth player.
Mm-hmm.
And he sings about some of those things, and this song we're going to hear is called My Life's Been a Country Song.
Theo Fleury, everybody.
It's not bad, but he's giving it a real effort.
There's no question about it.
But, you know, is it good? That's up to each of us to decide.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, good for him.
Good for him.
Exactly.
Good for him. God love him.
Okay, where are we going now?
Why don't we go to 366 in 1992 and 1993? That's a good year because that was actually the year that the Buffalo Sabres put out that great single. The Toronto Maple Leafs put out a video and also included a song on the video of the highlights. And it featured Hall of Famers Glenn Anderson, who's kind of behind the whole thing, Doug Gilmore, Dave Andrechuk, Grant Fuhr, and more. And at the end of the video, which we won't hear, but it features Maple Leaf superfan Mike Myers kind of playing his Wayne and Garth role, Wayne Campbell role, mm-hmm. where he's on the ice and a car comes by and he has to move the net and goes, a car's always going by whenever I play hockey.
I see.
So,
I get it.
But
although he's a Blackhawks fan in Wayne's world.
He is. And of course, you know, I mean, in that movie, Stan Mikita's Donut Shop, they wanted Tim Hortons, but they weren't able to get the Tim Horton name to use.
And that's why they got Stan
they
Mikita.
They got Stan Mikita. He was a big fan of Stan Mikita.
Yeah.
And who wasn't?
Yeah, of course.
This song is called The Leafs Are the Best.
It's that simple.
Are they the best? They are the best.
The Leafs are the best.
They are the best.
Okay. They played the hell out of the Hawks last week. I can
they
tell you that
did
much.
Indeed.
They did indeed
they
win.
Did.
Okay. So the Leafs are the best.
obviously those are professional singers, but the background...
The background are the Leafs.
Well, are the Leafs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, boy, they got some great female vocalists on that team.
They do.
And I'm holding... It always brings back many memories when I'm holding a VHS tape in my hand that you have.
Not only a VHS, but a sealed VHS.
Sealed VHS tape.
Yeah, I pulled the song off of YouTube.
Okay, but this is the actual sealed VHS 60-minute special, The Passion Returns, the Toronto Maple Leafs 92-93 season.
Yes.
With the team photo on the back of the...
This the Passion is a VHS, did return.
VHS right there. VHS. So...
Got to find a beta version somewhere.
Right, exactly. All right.
Was beta around in 99? Maybe a few.
No, 93? Really. No, yeah. Gone by then, yeah. I think. Yeah, I mean, maybe just a very, very few. But I know they weren't. I think they stopped manufacturing beta in the 80s. I think, like, I would imagine late 80s. Late 80s. Okay. One more before we break.
Sure. We started off the whole program today with Guy Lafleur from his Disco Instruction album.
Right.
So why don't we go to track 12 and learn a little bit about shooting. Of course, this is going to be in French, so...
You're going to learn.
I don't know how you say shooting in French, but it looks like Lancer.
There are people out there who took French, and they will enjoy this. Dan, did you take French?
No, I took Spanish.
Oh, you took Spanish. So.
How do you say shooting in Spanish?
That's a good question.
Another reason why we need Esmeralda here. We could have got that one translated like that. All right, well, so this is in French. Guy Lafleur teaching everybody how to shoot.
Un bon lancer dépend de quatre éléments. De force d'abord, d'équilibre sur patin ensuite, puis de technique et de pratique. D'abord, tu devrais choisir un bâton dont le manche est flexible. Et quel que soit le genre de lancer que tu pratiques, le plus important, c'est de décrocher rapidement la rondelle. Au cours des dernières années, Claude Ruel m'a beaucoup aidé à pratiquer mon lancer rapide. Il me passe une rondelle après l'autre, à haute vitesse, et je la reçois et la lance dans le même mouvement. Tu peux aussi améliorer ton lancer rapide en faisant des push-ups sur le bout des doigts. Commence par quelques-uns, puis augmente graduellement jusqu'à ce que tu puisses en faire 35. C'est pas facile, mais la force que tu vas développer va faire toute la différence dans le perfectionnement de tes lancers.
Yeah. Now that's going to improve my shooting very much.
In the 70s, they had background singers as assistant coaches.
And, of course, your big disco, the big disco theme.
It was. Right they there. Had platform skates.
Oh, man.
And bell-bottom pads.
That will be improving the shooting of every... Although my shooting is pretty good. Did you see me shoot the puck?
That's a few years ago. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
yes.
Sir, yeah. Not to toot my own horn, but...
I'm a
sniper.
Yeah. Did you win anything other than
For charity?
Okay.
Yeah.
Then even better.
I did. It was $500 for charity. The Amyloidosis Foundation. I gave it to. It's a blood rare blood disease that my cousin passed away from.
Oh well, that was
so.
Terrific.
I was a nervous wreck.
Did you practice?
Well, they give you a stick in the hallway before.
But I mean, at home?
No, I hadn't had a hockey stick in my hand. Used to play hockey, but I hadn't had a hockey stick in my hand in years. And I missed the first two shots. I got the third one, and then when we turn around to shoot at the other end, the far end, where it's just got the one space.
Right.
One first shot, boom, right in.
Do you have the video?
Well, it's online. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I've watched it, and I just a spot to see, you know, when, you know, how nervous I was, and I was really a wreck. So anyway, all right, we're gonna break.
Sounds good.
And then we'll come back. And we got more hockey sports songs to play. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Frank Pellico. What album is this from again? What's it called?
This is called Touching.
Touching.
Touching from 1977.
77, Frank Pellico.
He was working with the Cubs back then.
Mm. He's with the Hawks now.
And they're lucky to have him.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's amazing.
I mean, it's great fun to hear that organ.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. If you would like to call us for talk or text or Wildcard Wednesday requests, any artist, any song, anything, we'll play those later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Rick Geezer is with us. SportsSongs.com is the website. You can check him out on Facebook as well. And podcasts are available at WGNRadio.com. And because hockey season kicked off just a few days ago, we decided we would do a hockey edition of Sports Songs. Okay, where do we want to go now?
Track 153. We pine, we hope, we wish, we think back to the glory days of 2015 and the Blackhawks Stanley Cup rally. And Chris Versteeg and Joakim Nordstrom, during the rally, decided to do a Macklemore and Ryan Lewis song called And We Danced.
Right.
So why don't we listen to that and see what we think about that, and see if we can get this going for this coming year.
I remember watching this, so here we go.
And we danced, and we cried, and we laughed, and had a really, really, really good time. Take my hand. Let's have a blast and remember this moment for the rest of our lives. Our lives.
Our lives.
Our lives.
Our lives.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. Tonight.
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 Tonight. Because tonight is the night. Am I right?
Dance!
Actually, it was a few nights earlier that was the night.
Yeah, they like to have a good time when they win the cup.
And that
cup,
brings
don't they?
Up whatever happened to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Macklemore's still around.
I think
around.
He is.
Yeah, Macklemore's still around. So wow. Okay. Those rallies are something, man. You never know what's going to happen.
And Chris Versteeg did something similar after the 2010 rally as
mm-hmm.
well,
yeah.
where he came up with an original rap during
right.
that one.
It's pretty special. Okay, what do we got?
Let's go to 362. Let's go back to the Buffalo Sabres. It's like a Buffalo Sabre night here. In 1985 and 86, the Buffalo Sabres put out an anti-drug video and song. And that team featured Hall of Famers Phil Housley, Dave Andrechuk, Gilles Perreault, and many more players. And they put out this anti-drug song called Be Fair to Yourself, and there's a little bit of some anti-drug stuff going on right before the singing starts.
All right, so this is the Sabres once again. Here we go.
They're buying drugs.
How come?
They think they're being cool, but they're not. It's weird. They don't know that they're being unfair to themselves.
It's a cold, dark world out there, but you gotta stay cool, and you better beware.
Turning on to dope won't help you through. You may find yourself with a chance, and you're thinking you can handle it and come out ahead. Don't go fooling yourself, it won't help you through.
That's a nice message there from the Buffalo Sabres.
Don't turn on and blow your chance.
Yeah, that's right, man. There you go. And they think they're being cool. Okay, what's next?
Let's go to track 16. Ken Baumgartner was kind of a journeyman defenseman, a bit of a goon. In 1990, he put out an album on Metal Blade, a CD called Bomber, and the song we're going to hear is the Motorhead classic Bomber, and it features on instrumentation members of Anthrax, Suicidal Tendencies, and a few other metal bands of that era.
Okay, it's Ken Baumgartner.
Ain't no hope in hell. We'll be right back.
So I'm looking at the, I was just looking at the CD, and I noticed that one of the tracks on there, the actual, the Hanson brothers from Slapshot perform.
Well, it's actually not those Hanson brothers.
Oh, it's not?
No, no. Because I thought that, too, when I first saw this.
Oh, okay.
It's a group they call the, members of different bands that call themselves the Hanson brothers.
You know what? It might be the band No Means No. Their Canadian band No Means No, that might be an offshoot from those guys because they sometimes tour as the Hanson
Brothers.
I thought it was the actual Hanson Brothers.
When I saw that, I thought the very same thing.
Right. All right. Well, listen, Rick, it's been a blast having you on here. And hockey season is underway, and we're rooting for the Hawks big time. Their next game is Thursday.
That would be, yes, we are indeed.
And
if you want to play something under, why don't you play 159 Guy Lafleur about checking?
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to get to it.
You're not going to be able to get to it. That's fine.
We have to hit the news. So, but anyway, sportssongs.com.
Thank you for having me. Sportssongs.com. It's always a pleasure to join you.
Cool.
And people can contact me. Would love to hear from you.
Outstanding. All right, we'll take a break here. The news is coming up in just a few seconds. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above downtown Chicago. It's Wild Card Wednesday.
Yeah!
So get your requests in now. That's any artist, anything, any song, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees that have been announced, and we will definitely talk about that and much more to come. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and right now we want to welcome back to the show Matthew Hoffman. He's the programmer for the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series, and their new season kicks off on Thursday, October 18th, with two screenings of one of the best horror movies ever made, The Bride of Frankenstein, and Sarah Karloff, daughter of Boris, is going to be in attendance. There's a matinee at 2 o'clock. And then another at 7:30, and it's at the beautiful Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. And you can check out parkridgeclassicfilm.com. And the new season is underway, so let's welcome Matthew back to the show. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Nick. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Welcome back. Welcome back. Excited to have the new season starting for several reasons. One, I mean, you're starting off with what is widely considered one of the greatest horror movies of all time, certainly one of the best Universal movies ever made. And there's some changes that have been made at the Pickwick. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, our sixth season got a little bit of a delay. We usually open up in September, but we're opening in October because they're renovating Theater One. They're basically turning it into a mega theater. It's going to be a larger screen, almost like an IMAX size screen. They're going to have Dolby 7.1 sound system. The screen is supposed to be huge. It's something like 54 feet by 30 feet tall. It's going to really look spectacular. The renovation isn't complete yet. We're hoping that it'll be done in time for our screening. So right now we're scheduled to open in Theater 4, which seats about 200 people. So it's going to be kind of a last-minute decision whether or not we'll be in the mega theater or not. But irregardless, even if it's in Theater 4, it's going to be a wonderful night because we're going to have Sarah Karloff as a special guest, and I'm showing probably my second favorite movie of all time,
yeah,
The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's truly a classic. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's just a macabre masterpiece, you know, a black comedy, of course, directed by James Whale, starring Boris Karloff. And I thought for the 200th anniversary of the publication of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, why not show The Bride of Frankenstein, which is actually the fourth Frankenstein movie I've shown in 6 years. So,
is that right?
But when the opportunity came, you know, to have a screening with Sarah Karloff, you know, I kind of jumped at it.
Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah,
that's really great. And you're doing again, and again, you know, the new season begins, and again, you guys are offering the matinees for people who maybe older people or folks who don't want to stay out late on a Thursday night. You have a 2 p.m. screening, right, for the first one?
Yeah. 2 p.m. I really want to push the 2 p.m. because Sarah Karloff is also going to be a guest at the matinee as well.
Oh, great.
So she's going to be there at both screenings. So that's very generous of her you know, to make yourself available for that.
Yeah, so that's great. So Sarah Karloff will be at both screenings, and so that's
Sarah's always been, you know, such a popular guest at monster movie conventions, and actually she's going to be turning 80, I think, next month. I believe she was born on her father's 51st birthday. So, you know, I don't know how many more conventions she's going to be doing. So we're certainly honored to have her in Park Ridge.
That's very exciting. Yeah, absolutely. You talk a little bit more about The Bride of Frankenstein, like, you know, how it was put together. And I know a lot of people have seen the film Gods and Monsters, you know, which told sort of the making of that, or at least it was about James Whale. But the history of the movie is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was a film that James Whale didn't originally want to make. He thought he had done everything with the original Frankenstein. But there was another film that he wanted to make called One More River, and he basically did that for Universal. They let him make One More River if he did another Frankenstein sequel. And, of course, the film reunites several of the members from the original film, such as Boris Karloff and Colin Clive. They do have a different actress playing Elizabeth. But the film basically picks up where the last film ended, with the monster trapped in the burning windmill. And what separates this film, I think, from the original, of course, had the wonderful performances by Dr. Frankenstein, Colin Clive, and Boris Karloff, who gave a tour de force performance in the film. But yeah, I think what separates this film from the original is just the visual touches of James Whale, the witty screenplay that is just a masterpiece of black comedy, the atmospheric, eerie film score of Franz Waxman. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot more elements there to appreciate in the sequel. It's considered one of the best horror films of all time, and certainly the hallmark of the Universal monster franchise.
Yeah.
So we're really honored.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Sarah Karloff. Now, not only that, but she's not only going to be there, but she's going to be presenting Rare Home Movies, and she's going to introduce both screenings, correct?
She's going to introduce both films. She's going to have some home movies of her father that she's going to be bringing. So her presentation is going to be about, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes. And, of course, she's going to be meeting with fans before the film, signing autographs. But I'm really looking forward to the home movies that she's going to be presenting. That's going to be a lot of fun and certainly a treat, you know, for all the classic monster fans.
Yeah. That's really going to be fantastic, and she's doing that for both screenings. So tickets are available for both screenings at 2:00 and at 7:30. And preceding the movie, Sarah Karloff is going to introduce the film and show some rare home movies, and then meet and greet with the fans. And then you get to see the screening of The Bride of Frankenstein. You can go to parkridgeclassicfilm.com for more information. And Matthew, you'll be updating people as to whether or not you are going to be in the Mega Theater or in Theater 4, depending on what happens, whether or not they're ready.
Exactly, exactly. We'll post something on our website, Park Ridge Classic Film. Again, it could be like a last-minute decision, but it would be wonderful if The Bride of Frankenstein is the very first film in the Mega Theater.
Yeah.
But if not, we've got some great stuff coming up.
Okay. All right, great. And I want to mention, so that's happening on Thursday, October 18th. Sarah Karloff in attendance, home movies, awesome. The Bride of Frankenstein, one of the greatest movies ever made. And you can get your tickets now. It's $12 or $10 in advance, and $10 for the 2 p.m. matinee and for that.
Correct.
And also,
correct,
you are going to be hosting a screening of Beetlejuice on Tuesday, October 30th. So I want to feel really, really old because it's the 30th anniversary of Beetlejuice.
I know, 30th anniversary.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's one of the greatest supernatural comedies of all time. We're going to try and show a Tim Burton short film with that. But this has gotten a lot of attention from especially the younger crowds. They're really looking forward to Beetlejuice on the 30th. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to present this in the Pickwick's new Mega Theater.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I love Beetlejuice. It's one of my favorites. I got to say, though, you know, hearing that it's 30 years old just makes me, I feel like I'm ancient at this point. I mean, my God. I vividly remember seeing
it. Yeah, time certainly flies.
Yeah, it certainly does. I remember seeing it in the theater vividly a bunch of times, and I think it's so funny, and Michael Keaton's performance is so great. And actually, everybody is really, really quite good in it, and very imaginative and crazy, and you know, put Winona Ryder on the map basically as well. So just a great film.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's terrific in the film. I never was able to see it in a theater, so I'm really looking forward to this presentation.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. That's great. Great, great.
Yeah.
So that's Beetlejuice on Tuesday, October 30th, and that's also at the Pickwick Theater, and you'll be hosting that 30th anniversary of Beetlejuice. Wow. And also, yeah. you're going to be giving a presentation at the Northbrook Public Library on November 6th. Tell us about that.
I'm going to be doing a lecture on Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger. They were a couple of British filmmakers who sort of defied convention. Those who are familiar with their work know them from films like The Red Shoes, Jack Narcissus, A Matter of Life and Death. But it's one of the great film partnerships between a director and writer. And I'm going to be focusing on their careers at the Northbrook Library. Again, this is my first presentation outside of Park Ridge, so I'm really looking forward to it. And Northbrook Library has an absolutely phenomenal facility there. They're going to be doing a three-film series on Powell and Pressburger, and they have a brand-new auditorium. They have the ability to show stuff on actual film, which is certainly a huge attraction. But Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger, I've always been a big fan of their work.
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
My former film teacher, Scott Marks, turned me on to their work when he gave me a VHS copy of Peeping Tom when I was at Columbia College. So
yeah.
I've always admired their work, and I'm really looking forward to doing this presentation for Northbrook.
No, they're both amazing. And that was my introduction to Michael Powell, too, was Peeping Tom. And and I saw that at an age where I shouldn't have. I was, I was very young when I saw Peeping Tom, and it really freaked me out. And to this day, it is a striking and disturbing, really disturbing movie. And he's a great
sure. filmmaker. Yeah, it's disturbing in the way that you know Hitchcock's Psycho was. You know, and both films were basically around the same time. Around 1960.
Right, yeah.
So and it was a film that did a lot to, you know, after Peeping Tom, that it didn't end Michael Powell's career, but it certainly sort of disappeared from the scene after that for a while.
And Michael Powell, a massive influence on Martin Scorsese, too, which he talks about a lot.
To this day, exactly,
yep.
Nick. I mean, to this day, Martin Scorsese takes every opportunity he can to promote the work of Michael Powell.
Yep, absolutely. And that'll be at the Northbrook Public Library at 7 o'clock on November 6th. And then your Park Ridge Library series is going to return in March. You excited about that?
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's going to be 10 years of classic movies at the Park Ridge Public Library next spring, so I'm really looking forward to that.
That's great. Well, coming up first, though, is Thursday, October 18th, two screenings of one of the greatest horror movies ever made, The Bride of Frankenstein. Sarah Karloff, daughter of Boris, is going to be there. She's going to show some rare home movies and introduce both movies. The screenings, the matinee at 2 o'clock. Tickets are available for that at 7:30. And keep your eye on the website with that parkridgeclassicfilm.com to find out whether it's going to be in Theater 4 or the new Mega Theater, Theater 1. But either way, you should come out and see it. If you've never seen The Bride of Frankenstein, and especially if you've never seen it on the big screen with Sarah Karloff there, which I don't think a lot of people have, that's the way to go. Matthew, I'm so glad that the Pickwick Classic Film Series is back, and I'm excited about the changes at the Pickwick Theater, and I wish you all the success on everything that you're doing. And you remember, anytime you got something to talk about, you're welcome to the show anytime.
I will. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, buddy. Take care, all right?
You too.
Okay. Matthew Hoffman, everybody, programmer for the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. I love what Matthew does, keeping the old school movie experience alive at the beautiful Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. Two screenings. There's a 2 o'clock matinee and a 7:30 screening, both of them on Thursday, October 18th. Sarah Karloff, the daughter of Boris Karloff, will be there. She's going to present rare home movies and introduce the movie. And if you've never seen The Bride of Frankenstein, it is truly a landmark film. Not just in horror, but in any genre. A great, great film. ParkRidgeClassicFilm.com, or you can check out our website or our Facebook page at Facebook.com/NickDShow. All right, we're going to take a break right here on 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And also coming up, right after the 3 o'clock news, we'll be talking with Jim Chilson, who is the communications director for Citizens Utility Board. And it's this great organization that helps to lower rates, get better service from the state utility companies. And it's been saving money for a lot of people. And there's a lot of really great stuff to talk about, including a quiz that you can take online and possibly win $100. And we'll talk with Jim after the news. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. It's Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah! You can get your requests in, any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. So in talking about the return of the Pickwick Classic film series with the great Bride of Frankenstein, that is so cool, Dan, that home movies.
Yeah.
That is amazing. You get to see, you know, the private life of Boris Karloff. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. You know, Matthew does, like, really, he really loves movies. And that guy knows his movies. And, you know, it's funny that he mentioned Scott Marks. Scott Marks is a guy that, anybody who, you know, knows movies from Chicago, or anybody who went to Columbia College, knows who Scott Marks is. And he lives in San Diego now. Writes for the San Diego Reader and some other places, and also programs some stuff his own. He was very influential. A lot of people who went to school at Columbia, and I didn't go to Columbia when he was teaching there. I went much earlier, but I had friends who went there, he would come in every class. You'd come in and go, okay, what did you see? What movies did you see over the weekend? He would immediately ask the class, and then they would talk about it. And he came in one. His favorite director is Scorsese, you know, which is, you know, obvious, you know, if you're a film fanatic, you're going to love Martin Scorsese. And he came in, this is my friend Mike, took classes, with him at Columbia, and he came in and he was all depressed. Like, he came in one morning and he was like, oh man. And he was, and everybody's like, what's the matter with you? And he goes, man, I saw Cape Fear over the weekend. Oh man, Scorsese let me down. And goes on and on about how terrible Cape Fear is, and I agree with him. I think it's absolutely Scorsese's worst movie. I mean, without question, nothing even comes close. I think Cape Fear is a terrible movie. But that's how passionate he was. He would get into arguments with people, you know, about movies and things like that. He was a great guy. But he taught a lot of people, including Matthew, and Matthew's love for, you know, classic cinema and, you know, obscure directors and really important, influential filmmakers. He kind of, you know, Scott Marks got him on that road, and that's where Hoffman is doing. And then he's doing the same thing, you know, with his library series and doing, you know, lectures and things like that. So it's all great. I am hosting a screening I would like to tell you guys about. It'll be on Tuesday, November 13th. And it's part of my film club that I've been doing since 2011. And it's our salute to the late, great Burt Reynolds, who we recently just lost. And Burt Reynolds, and we're screening one of my favorite Burt Reynolds movies, one of the best, The Longest Yard, the fantastic prison/football movie with a cast of unbelievable character actors and football players. And I think it's one of Burt's best movies and was one of the most entertaining, one of the best sports movies of all time, and really one of Burt Reynolds' best movies. And we're very lucky to get it because it very, very rarely gets shown. It very rarely gets shown on cable. It very, very, very rarely gets shown in the theaters. And the fact that we were able to get it, I was very excited about. And it's the restored 4K digital version. And it's Burt Reynolds in The Longest Yard. And it's only $10 to get in. We're showing it at the AMC Rosemont 18, where all the screenings take place. That used to be the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. And it's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. It's really easy to get to. It's right off the expressway. Or if you don't want to drive, you can just take the Blue Line. The Blue Line stop at Rosemont's a 5-minute walk from the Rosemont stop. Very easy to get to. 7 o'clock, show up, have some drinks. There's a full bar upstairs by the theater. You can get some concession food. They got like flatbread pizzas, and they got chicken and waffles. They got hot dogs and all kinds of really cool stuff. You can grab that stuff at the concession stand downstairs, bring it up into the dining room, have some food, and then hang out. And then at 8 o'clock, we'll all go into the movie theater, and I will introduce the movie, and that'll be at 8. And then we'll watch The Longest Yard together, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. I'll give you some behind the scenes stuff and some tidbits and all that cool stuff. Where right now, the seats are available, and you want to reserve your seats right now, go to amctheaters.com. That's amctheaters.com. And go to the Longest Yard, at the, which is November 13th. Check out the seating chart and then pick the seats that you want. And you reserve them, and they'll be waiting for you on Tuesday, November 13th. And then we'll watch the movie together. And The Longest Yard is just a great movie. If you've never seen it, it's just fantastic and quintessential 70s Bert. Now, it's interesting because you get both mustacheless Bert and mustachioed Bert. Because at the beginning of the movie, the first couple of scenes, he's got the mustache, but when he goes to prison, it's gone. So just in the first like 10 minutes, he's mustache Bert. And then no mustache. So you get both Berts. Although no bearded Bert. There, you'd have to watch Sharky's Machine. Because Sharky's Machine, at the beginning, first few scenes, bearded Bert. Rest of the movie, mustache Bert. So there it is. So anyway, Longest Yard is the next movie, the original Burt Reynolds version, which is just so great. $10, parking is free. Go to amctheaters.com right now. Reserve your seats for Tuesday, November 13th. And in December, planning ahead here, in the first Tuesday night of December for my film club, we're going to be showing Bill Murray in Scrooged, which has become a bit of a holiday classic. People love that movie, and I can't make an official announcement right now, but there's going to be some special stuff that happens along with Scrooged for that screening. I can't reveal it yet because it's not been put into stone, but it's going to be some special stuff happening specifically for that screening, for the December screening, and that is of Scrooged. So get your tickets for all of this stuff coming up here on WGN. Now, you haven't seen, Dan, you haven't seen the original Longest Yard.
I have not.
But you did see the remake.
I did.
And I told you the story about how, you know, Burt Reynolds, who's in the remake, was doing press for it, and he was on the red carpet at a premiere. And this was, you know, Burt, in his older years, was grumpy a lot and would not put up with anything, and he was full of, you know, pee and vinegar. And so he's being interviewed on the red carpet by some young kid, you know, from some weird little entertainment cable outlet or something. And he says to Bert, "Bert, are you excited about the movie?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm very excited about it." And he's like, "Yeah, I think they did a great job with it, and I'm happy to be here." And he didn't seem happy to be there, but that was just what he was saying. And then he says to the kid who's interviewing him, he's like, "Now, have you seen the original?" And the kid goes, "Wait, this is a remake?" And Burt Reynolds slapped him. Actually slapped the kid across the face. It was all over the internet and everything, and it was sure. All over TV. Like, Burt, oh, grumpy Burt. You should have seen his face when he said, "Oh, this is a remake." The kid says, "Oh, this is a remake." You look at Burt's face like, "What?" And he slapped the kid, and he gave him a good smack. And then I can't remember if he said, "Well, this interview's over," or he just walked away, or maybe they continued awkwardly. If I remember correctly, I think it continued awkwardly.
Wow!
After he smacked the kid, but it was so funny. Burt Reynolds not putting up with any of that crap. What do you mean is this a remake? What are you talking about? He was a young kid, but you know what? Do your homework, man. I mean, I don't. You know, how do you not know that that's a remake? If you don't know, look it up. But that was fun footage to watch, I can tell you. But anyway, we're not showing the remake. We're showing the original Burt Reynolds movie. That's what we're showing. November 13th, so get your tickets now. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we got the news. And then Jim Chilson's going to join us from the Citizens Utility Board. That's all coming up right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on 18th floor at 303 Wacker, overlooking beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 a.m. and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man. So get your requests in now. That's any artist, any song, anything. You program it, any artist. Wild Card Wednesday, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right. A little later on, we're going to be talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees that were announced, discuss that, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in general. But right now, we want to welcome back to the show Jim Chilson, he is the communications director for the Citizens Utility Board, or CUB. And CUB works to lower rates, get better service from the state's utility companies, and save people over $20 billion over the years. And you can check out citizensutilityboard.org for more information. And they've got a quiz that they're going to be doing and some other things to talk about with Jim about this this great organization. And let's welcome Jim back to the show. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, Nick. Glad to be here. How you doing,
sir? I'm okay. I'm fine. First of all, tell everybody about Citizens Utility Board.
Yeah, I'm very proud to work for this organization. I've been there about 15 years now. The CUB, or the Citizens Utility Board, was created by the Illinois legislature back in 1983, and it opened its doors in 1984. And our mission is, as you said, is to fight for the rights of utility customers across the state. That's anybody who pays an electric, gas, or phone bill. We even fight water cases when it's a private water company. We will fight those cases too. And over the years, we have helped save consumers more than $20 billion. What makes me really proud to work for the group is that we've got a consumer hotline at 800-669-5556. And we take complaints every day from consumers who have questions or concerns about their utility bills or complaints about their utility bills. And I've seen that group help save people, hundreds, even thousands of dollars by just spotting errors on their utility bills and errors in how the utilities deal with consumers.
Yeah.
And we also hold events across the state where we just read people's utility bills. You'd be amazed how much people don't know about their utility bills. And I think that's one of the reasons we're holding this quiz in October, which is Energy Awareness Month.
It's energy. I wasn't even aware that Energy Awareness Month. Maybe I forgot. October is Energy Awareness Month. Jim, how did you personally get involved with the organization? And how long has the organization been around?
Yeah, we opened our doors in 1984. So we're coming up on an anniversary next year. It's going to be 35
Yeah.
years.
Wow.
And it was created by the Illinois legislature. And I was an AP reporter. I was an Associated Press reporter before I came to CUB. And actually, it's been longer than 15 years. It's been about 18 years. I was looking for something. I was getting out of the journalism business. And I found this great group of people that just, spend their days trying to save people money on their utility bills. So we're, it's a hardworking group, and they're people who just really are focused on doing everything they can to help people cut their utility bills and help to educate people about their utility bills.
Yeah, and I love that we've talked about this in the past, that you are a real popular guy at parties.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. When I got hired, they told me, they go, you're going to be one of the most popular people at parties because everybody has questions about their utility bills. And I laughed at that. And Nick, it is true. People always come up to me and say, I got this call from somebody saying they're going to cut my electric bill. What's that about? Or I just saw, I got this bill insert. What's ComEd up to these days? And people are always interested because it's like that saying during the presidential election, it's the economy, stupid. People care about their pocketbooks, no matter what you believe in politics. We're a nonpartisan group. People always care about cutting their utility bills. And so we're a group that's accessible to, a wide range of people. Everybody's interested in what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another thing is it's nice that this core organization exists to help people out. And again, the 800 number is 800-669-5556. You can go to citizensutilityboard.org. Because as Jim, you've been doing this for a long time. A lot of people think that they have to pay these bills, that it's insurmountable, that they have no other choice, that can't challenge the utilities. And sometimes they think they can't switch providers. It's a kind of an intimidating thing. It's like, well, I got to pay it. I have no choice. But that's not the case.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people are weary. That's what I experience when I go to when I have to work these utility bill clinics sometimes. And it's good for me to do that because I see what people are dealing with on a daily basis in terms of just people paying their utility bills. And I think people are really weary. They're intimidated by the bills. They don't always understand it. Or also, we find a remarkable number of people that are very educated about their bills, but are frustrated. They're looking for opportunities to cut them. And that's always what feels good is when we can, connect people to good programs and, you know, good opportunities to cut their bills. And there are a lot of great opportunities out there. You know, this quiz where, you know, somebody who takes the quiz at the end of October is going to win $100. And that's right. Great. But there's a lot of opportunities beyond that to just to make even deeper cuts in your bills. And that's what we try to educate people about.
And it's a great service. Now, this is I don't think I've ever asked you this question. Is there one utility that tops in terms of complaints?
You know, that's a great question. That's a really great question. You know, for years it was ComEd, and it usually is ComEd. ComEd is up there. But I tell you, AT&T gives them a run for their money.
Yeah.
People are, even though there are fewer and fewer landline customers. But AT&T still, sparks a lot of frustration from people. And you know what? It's not officially a utility, but we deal with a lot of questions and complaints about this company, Comcast.
Yeah.
So I would say it's ComEd, Comcast, and AT&T are the top three in the state.
That's interesting. I happen to have two of those of my utilities. I do not have AT&T, but speaking of AT&T, they are ending a monthly discount for low income callers. Talk about that and how you guys at Cub want that reinstated.
Yeah, and we're asking people to go to cubactioncenter.com to sign a petition. That's cubactioncenter.com. Yeah, this is bad news. You know, we've been in this fight with the company for years. You know, everybody at Cub loves their smartphones. We, you know, depend on technology. We love technology. But there are still people in this state, probably around, I would say it's probably close to 1 million people total in the state who depend in some degree on landline, traditional landline, copper landline phone service. And AT&T has been trying to push them off of that landline service for the past couple of years. And our argument is those people should be able to, you are obligated to offer landline phone service. People who need landline phone service, for a lot of people, it's their most reliable link to the outside world. These are people, you know, seniors on fixed incomes, people like that who need, you know, their landline phones. And they should be able to keep it, and it should be affordable to them as long as AT&T is obligated. Well, AT&T just announced that people are getting these letters that they're taking away this monthly phone discount. It was a lifeline discount. This is going to impact about around 5,300 people in the state. And we're talking about Illinois' most vulnerable phone customers, people who really need that landline and they need it to be affordable. We've had people say, if they take away this federal lifeline discount, I'm not going to be able to afford my landline anymore. I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to get rid of my landline. And there are other, options out there. But, you know, right now for a cell phone, for example, the state has not upgraded its 911 service across Illinois. And that means that the emergency, if you make an emergency call from a cell phone, for example, they're not able to always pinpoint your exact location immediately.
Right.
And so it's concerns like that say, hey, you know, let's put the brakes on AT&T. As long as you're still obligated to offer landline phone service, you should be able to, you should offer this federal credit. It's a federal program that, you know, offers, this monthly credit. It's up to $11.75 a month for people who qualify and who apply for it, and they're low-income people. So, you know, we're urging AT&T, you know, to reinstate this credit immediately. Now, under federal law, as long as AT&T, you know, proves that there's another option out there, at least one other option for people out there, usually cell phone companies, they're allowed to get rid of that credit. And we're just saying, you know, you may have a legal right to do it, but what's the right thing to do in this situation? And,
right.
You know, this is a company that made $29.5 billion last year. We think the least they can do is retain this credit as long as they're obligated to offer landline service.
Yeah, I agree. That's important. And people, we're urging you guys to sign a petition at cubactioncenter.com.
That's right. And we've already, we just put out an email about it today and already got close to 1,000 people signing it. Like I said, AT&T sparks a lot of frustration in people. So they're willing, even if they're not landline customers, they're willing to help in this fight.
Yeah. Okay. Well, keep the fight going. So go to CubActionCenter.com, sign that petition. It is Energy Awareness Month, October, and because of that, you guys are doing an energy quiz, and at the end of the month, someone could win $100. But we want to talk a little bit about that quiz when we come back because we have to break. Okay, Jim?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, hang on a second. Jim Chilson is with us. He is a communications director for the Citizens Utility Board. It's a group that wants to lower rates, get better service from the state's utility companies. Saved a lot of money for a lot of people over the years. In fact, over $20 billion. CitizensUtilityBoard.org or call 800-669-5556. A great group. And when we come back, we'll talk about the energy quiz that could win you $100. That's all coming up right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Currently, Jim Chilson is with us. He is a communications director for the Citizens Utility Board, a great group that works to lower rates and get better service from utility companies. It saved over $20 billion for people over the years, and citizensutilityboard.org for more information. Jim's been working with them for many years, and it's Energy Awareness Month. October is Energy Awareness Month. And there's an energy quiz that you can take, and we're going to talk about that and maybe throw a few sample questions out there and see what will happen. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
So tell me about this quiz.
Yeah, well, we thought it would be a creative way to celebrate Energy Awareness Month. You know, there's every day we talk to people who pay higher utility bills because of energy scams, because of misunderstandings about their bills, or just myths. Things that they believed about their utility bills that simply aren't true, and we thought this would be a great way to educate people. And the nice thing is, at the end of the month, because energy myths are scary, October 31st, we're going to pick a winner, and you don't even have to get the quiz right to win. It's a giveaway. Anybody who takes the quiz will be eligible to win $100 off their October utility bills. And we're just going to randomly select somebody who takes the quiz to win that $100. But
right.
So we're encouraging everyone to go to citizensutilityboard.org. That's citizensutilityboard.org. And right there on the banner headline, you can see a big picture that you can click on, and it says, you know, to take this energy myths quiz.
And maybe we can throw a couple of questions out there. I want people to actually go online and do the quiz to participate,
yeah,
and also have that chance of getting $100 off of their bills. Before we do that, you know, this is a question I'm meaning to ask. You know, because of technology and where we are right now, and because of, you know, the fact that we don't really get to talk to really real human beings and everything is automated, that also makes it difficult to challenge and to pay your bills because it's confusing, and I think technology has actually made it more difficult. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, and I think, you know, speaking of technology, people tell us that they have tried to call the utility, and they have a heck of a time just talking to the, you know, the automated, you know, phone tree that they get caught in. They'll get put on hold. They just have a hard time talking to a live, you know, person. But yeah, I think technology, you know, can be a huge barrier. And I think that's one of the things that Cub has had to grow and learn more about as we continue consumer advocacy. That just last year we put out a privacy guide, you know, tips on how people can protect their privacy with technology, you know, social media or, you know, email, anything like that. And I think that, you know, Cub has gone from a group, you know, that's just purely fighting, you know, electric rate hikes to now a group that not only fights rate hikes, but we also try to give information and help people in this day and age, you know, to protect their privacy and protect their pocketbooks in a technological world.
Mm, okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this quiz. Who came up with the questions?
Yeah, that was Megan Merrill is somebody I work with. It was a team effort. She's somebody in the communications department, and she got very excited about this, thought this was a great idea to do a quiz, and she really jumped all over this. But it was a team effort. A lot of this we asked our outreach director, you know, does, you know, they do 400 plus events a year. We asked our consumer advocacy director. They take thousands of calls a year. And this quiz is really based on, you know, the kinds of questions that we get out in the field and, you know, from people who call our hotline.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to give them, I don't want to go through all the questions because I want people to go online and take them, but I do want to do a couple sample ones, for instance.
Yeah, please.
Here's the first one. True or false, it uses less energy and is therefore cheaper to leave lights and appliances on rather than turning them off and back on again. And the question is true or false.
And this is a an ongoing argument in homes across America, and it's actually false. In almost every case, leaving lights on uses more energy than turning them off and then on again. Mm. Maybe with compact fluorescent light bulbs, those are those curly Q light bulbs.
Right.
Those are going away actually in favor of LED bulbs. But people, sometimes with those types of lights, if you're going to leave the room, you should only turn it off if you're going to leave it for 5 minutes or more. But every other light, incandescents to LEDs, just turn those lights off. It really uses a lot more energy to just leave those lights on, and that costs you more on your electric bill.
Okay. All right. And let's see. Another true or false. Going with an alternative supplier's 100% green plan means I'm getting 100% renewable energy pumped into my home.
Yeah, this is one that is just very confusing to people. And I don't know if you've gotten hit up for these types of deals, but there are a lot of people who sign up for these 100% green plans, and they think that they're getting electricity pumped into their home. They're getting renewable energy pumped into their home. That's false. Mm. Signing up for a green plan does not mean that the electricity supplier will send energy produced by a solar or wind farm directly to your home. Instead, the company will take some of your money to buy something called renewable energy certificates to offset up to 100% of the energy that you use. So basically it means, doesn't mean that's impossible. Once electricity is generated, like you turn on the TV at home, that could be coming from thousands of different sources of electricity, from the cleanest solar farm to the dirtiest, you know, coal-fired power plant. There's no way to guarantee that electricity coming into your home is renewable energy. However, if you sign up for one of these green plans, what it means is somewhere on the power grid, not necessarily your home, but somewhere on the power grid, an equal amount of green electricity will be added. Mm-hmm. So it's not a bad thing. You know, this is a legitimate choice in the market, but let me tell you, Nick, a lot of people are paying way too much for these green plans. I mean, sometimes we've seen people paying more than double for these green plans. And you know what? A better thing to do that would be more green would just be to practice energy efficiency at home and to, you know, just be very, you know, careful about, you know, making your home as efficient as possible. That's really the greenest thing you can do for your home. So just be careful. If you want to sign up for a green plan, it's a legitimate choice, but just know what you're getting. It does not mean that you're getting 100% renewable energy pumped into your home.
Let me ask, before we let you go, Jim, how much did you know about utilities and all this stuff beforehand when you joined Cub?
Oh,
because you know a
nothing.
Lot now, so but you knew nothing.
Yeah, and I'm still learning. I want to make that clear. I'm still learning to this day. But yeah, I knew nothing, and I paid for it, particularly on both my electric and my phone bill. I was overpaying by so much. Mm. When I came to Cub, I was able to look at those bills and, you know, reduce them. And now I think my kid always jokes. He goes, "Dad's an electricity cop." I guess that's because I say, because I try to stop the companies from raising our rates, but also I'm always yelling at them about turning off their lights and just conserving, you know, being energy efficient.
Right.
So I've learned a lot, and I think that's the key is that, and I've learned a lot from just talking to consumers, a lot of smart consumers out there, and I think that's the key is just educating yourself about your utility bills. When you're educated, you're less likely to fall for any scams or misunderstandings or myths.
Right. Okay. Well, it's a great organization, Jim, and I appreciate all you do. You check out citizensutilityboard.org and take that quiz. Take the quiz for Energy Awareness Month, and at the end, you too could get a discount of $100 on your bills. And it's free, and you don't have to get the questions right. You'll automatically be entered into it. So just go to citizensutilityboard.org. You can take that quiz. And if you have questions or concerns, you can call 800-669-5556. That's 800-669-5556 for the Citizens Utility Board. Jim, always a pleasure to talk to you, man, and I will talk to you soon.
Keep fighting the good fight, sir.
Okay, buddy, take care. All right.
Take care.
Jim Chilson, everybody, Communications Director for the Citizens Utility Board. They help a lot of people out, and they can help you out. Also, take the quiz, citizensutilityboard.org, for more info as well. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Wild Card Wednesday. And that's any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Ike in Country Club Hills requesting Ministry, Every Day is Halloween. And Al Jorgensen just kicked his radio through the wall if he was listening. Hey, listen, what the hell happened after that first album? That wasn't on the first album. Let me just make sure. But that was just a single. That was like a 12-inch single that he released, Ministry released, after the first album, but before they went, you know, industrial. And this was used, Dan, this was used in one of those beer. Remember, you're probably too young to remember the fantastic phase of dry beer.
I am familiar with them, never consumed one.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember, it was, but that song was used to promote one of the dry beers. Maybe it was Bud Dry or something, something dry. That song was used on the commercial. Yeah. Hey, listen, what the hell happened after that first album? Ministry. All right. I happen to love that song. So. All right. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here till 5 a.m. And if you want a request for Wild Card Wednesday, you're here, Wild Card Wednesday. That's any artist, any song, anything. You can call us or text us at 312-981-7200. And you can also call and text us for a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame discussion that we're going to have. I've got all the inductees listed in front of me. So if we have a question about who is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and who isn't, we can probably answer that. And they have the 2019 nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have been announced. Warren Zevon is not among them, so I dismiss it all. It's gotten to the point now where there are a lot of artists who have not been nominated who should, and who have not, maybe they've been nominated but they haven't been inducted. But I you know, it's getting to the point where it's just ignoring Warren Zevon as one of the greatest singer songwriters of all time. It's a joke now. It's a joke. So we want to hear from you. What do you think of the class of 2019 nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I will tell you what they are and tell you a little story about it, and then we'll go through some of the other from the inductees from the past. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on Tuesday announced its nominees for induction into the 2019 class with a mix of new and old candidates. It's the first time Def Leppard, Devo, John Prine, Roxy Music, Stevie Nicks, and Todd Rundgren have made the list. It's the first time Todd Rundgren has been nominated? That's crazy talk. Devo, too. You would think Devo would have been nominated already. Rapper LL Cool J and the group Kraftwerk have made the list four times before. Aw, poor LL! LL keeps getting... Well, apparently there are no ladies in the Hall of Fame nominations, because ladies love Cool J. Other nominees this year are Janet Jackson, MC5, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, The Cure, and The Zombies. To be eligible, an individual artist or band must have released its first commercial recording at least 25 years prior to the year of nomination. Fans will once again have the opportunity to vote for their favorites. They can visit rockhall.com. That's R-O-C-K-H-A-L-L, rockhall.com, through December 9th to cast votes for who they believe to be most deserving of induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The top five artists, as selected by the public, will comprise a fans' ballot that will be tallied along with the other ballots to choose the 2019 inductees. Voting is capped at one ballot per day. Inductees will be announced in December. The 2019 induction ceremony, presented by Klipsch Audio, will be held at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York on March 29th and broadcast on HBO and SiriusXM. Ticket information will be announced in January. Okay. So, yeah. So it's Def Leppard, Devo, John Prine, Roxy Music, Stevie Nicks, Todd Rundgren, LL Cool J, Kraftwerk, Janet Jackson, MC5, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, The Cure, and The Zombies. Dan, what do you make of this list?
You know, of the groups that you said, the only ones that I kind of were like, yep, they should be in, were Radiohead and MC5. Those are the only two. I mean, I think you make arguments for it, but just listening to that list and being like, yep, just right away. Those are the only two that were yeps right away for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not the most, I mean, being a fan of any of these artists is not really the point, because the question is not if you like them or not, but whether they should be considered for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Radiohead, absolutely. I'm not the biggest Radiohead fan, but absolutely. They should be a nominee. MC5, absolutely. And they've been nominated before. MC5's been nominated before. It's hard for me to believe that they haven't been inducted.
That is surprising.
Yeah. I mean, they're one of the most influential and important bands, American bands, you know? And personally, I think Todd Rundgren, you know, I'm surprised this is, I'm absolutely shocked that this is the first time he's been nominated. Because I think Todd Rundgren, you know, not only should be nominated, but I think he should be inducted. I think Todd Rundgren, not just being, you know, a great songwriter and a singer, but also an innovator and a great producer. Todd Rundgren is a phenomenal producer. All of that stuff, you know, combined, this guy should have been on the nominee list a long time ago. And personally, I think inducted at this point. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I would love to hear what you guys think about this. And some of the other artists that have been not mentioned or nominated in the past or not inducted. So Def Leppard, I got to say no to Def Leppard. You know, they sold a bunch of records, but I mean, did they really? I mean, you know, it's because of what they have the 25 years. Because Todd Rundgren, you know, you got to wait 25 years. Todd Rundgren's been around for a lot longer than 25 years. That's why I'm surprised that he's not been in there. Def Leppard's been around for longer than 25 years as well. So is Devo. So Def Leppard, I would say, I guess, I don't know. No.
Yeah, I know my good friend Mark Gass, who listens to the podcast, so he will be yelling at his iPod speaker when he hears this in 24 to 36 hours, but I would probably lean towards no,
yeah,
even though he's seen them 800 times and, you know, met the band and all this stuff, and every time I go over to see WrestleMania, I'm surrounded by Def Leppard paraphernalia. but I mean, like, I think there's an argument you could make for them.
Absolutely.
But I don't, you know, again, if you're just doing like right away, yes or no.
Especially not first ballot.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I could, first ballot would be tough.
Yes. I would, sure. You know, give them a few more shots at it.
Right.
You know, again. And I can see the argument, like you're just saying, I could absolutely see an argument for Def Leppard getting inducted at some point. Right. I don't think first ballot.
Right. I mean, because I think to the point for them is that, in your opinion, that's when they have created one of the quote-unquote perfect songs.
Photograph, yeah.
Right. I mean,
you know, those two albums, Pyromania and Hysteria, those are classic. I mean, you know, they've made a lot of good records, but those two albums were massive. And, you know, a lot of credit has to go to John Mutt Lang, because John Mutt Lang produced those two records, and the production on those records, they really, the band itself and John Mutt Lang really changed the way that hair rock sounded, like hair metal sounded. It was really, I mean, just like the production on those records, those two records are phenomenal. And I love those two albums. I absolutely love those two albums. And Photograph, to me, in my opinion, is a perfect song. But I still don't think they should be inducted first ballot. Maybe somewhere along the line down the line.
And then, you know, they do have the interesting technology angle, obviously, of recreating the sound once the drummer lost the arm and how they, you know, managed
all
to
of that
them.
Stuff.
Yeah, I'm starting to go again for you. I'm starting to go your way. But in a few years.
But yeah, give him another ballot. Now, maybe I'm alone on this, but I think Devo should go in now. That's just me, man. I know it's first ballot, but I think Devo should have been nominated a long time ago. So I think Devo, I would vote Devo in right now, first ballot. I think Devo, incredible band, been around forever, original as hell, and also very influential. So I think first round I would go with Devo. So, all right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Who's missing besides Warren Zevon? Every year I've been saying that. Every year it's like, well, no Warren Zevon. Well, then that's stupid. But who among these nominees do you think should be inducted? 312-981-7200. We'll take your phone calls and your comments and your thoughts and your texts at 312-981-7200 after we break here. We got some weather for you today. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Wednesday morning, Wildcard Wednesday. You're very welcome, Wednesday. It's any artist, any song, anything. Paul requested Lenny Kravitz, Fly Away. So there you go. 312-981-7200. We are discussing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees that were just announced. And who do you think deserves to be there? Who do you think doesn't? And what do you think about all this? And by the way, coming up at 5 o'clock is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and coming up at 6 is Steve Cochran. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, let's get back to the discussion. We got people calling in, so let's talk with James. Hey, James.
Morning. How are you doing?
All right.
I see that you're an avid Devo fan, as such as I.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Without Kraftwerk, there was no Devo. Kraftwerk were innovators for the hip-hop industry, the house music industry. They are pioneers when it comes to the music industry, period, and they need their just due.
Yeah, they made the list 4 times before, so it's been a while. So if Kraftwerk has to go in before Devo, I would understand that. But I am a huge Devo fan. So
as I.
Yeah, yeah.
New Traditionalist is in my playlist right now.
Yeah, there you go, man. Absolutely. But I can totally understand. And again, Kraftwerk having made the nomination list for 4 times, and I think that they deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So yeah, I guess they're due. I think they're due, right, James?
Right.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right,
thanks.
James. Thanks, buddy.
So have a good day.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Good point. You know, that Kraftwerk did lay the groundwork for Devo. Kraftwerk, I mean, they've done a ton of stuff, and they're very influential, and you know, really did lay the groundwork for the kind of music that they started, and were influential in a bunch of different genres as well, as James pointed out. But I really, you know, when I used to hang out at Ricochet's, I wanted to kill anybody who played Autobahn, because they would have the album version. The album version of Autobahn is like 19 minutes long. You know, look, I love Kraftwerk, but I don't want to hear 19 minutes of it when I'm drinking at a bar. It's not something I want to hear. Of course, I'm a jerk. I go out and I play a 20-minute Yes song afterwards just to make everybody mad. All right. Let's see. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Nick.
Morning.
I think Devo should be inducted just on the strength of all the Rugrat music. Alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for him, there would be no Rugrats.
Well, it's not only that. Mark Mothersbaugh has done, you know, music for I think all of the Wes Anderson movies. All of those scores are his. And he did the music for a lot of great TV shows, including Enlightened. Incredibly talented guy, but they have to judge it just on Devo alone. That's why. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, fine.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was just reading his bio. I didn't realize how much he has done.
Yeah, no, he's Mark Mothersbaugh is amazing. I mean, he's a great composer, and his solo stuff is great. But in judging this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, you just have to judge the band at that point.
Yeah, that and the hats.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Thank you, Glenn.
And the hats. Thank you. Have a nice morning.
I saw Devo not too many. I saw Devo maybe 7-8 years ago. They were fantastic. They were unbelievable. We saw them at the Vic. They were great. All right, here's Ted on WGN. Hey, Ted.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Hey, I want to put in my two cents about Def Leppard. I get what you were saying earlier about they sold a ton of records and they kind of revolutionized the sound. There's a third record that kind of came in behind Hysteria called Adrenalize that wasn't quite as popular, but there was a song on it that was written by the two guitarists, one of them that died, Steve Clark.
Yeah.
And the song ended up being about him, and I'll never forget being in the concert, and they talked about that, and the sound was almost haunting, and then I heard the actual story of how Phil Collins had to play that in the studio because Steve had already died.
Yeah.
And he says, played it, and then he heard it coming through the speakers, like, there's the ghost, and I was like, I heard him say that, and the next time I heard that song, my hair stood up on its end.
Yeah.
Wow, that's freaky.
Yeah.
But they did a lot with their sound in the 80s and went through some changes themselves even past that. So
yeah, okay.
Anyway, that's my two cents about
okay.
that Leppard band.
Thanks, Ted. I appreciate the story, buddy. Take care.
You bet.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's see. John Prine. I don't know. I would say not now, and I don't think he has any interest in it, quite frankly. Roxy Music. I would say yeah. Yeah, and Roxy Music was a really great band and pretty influential. Maybe not on the first ballot, though. Stevie Nicks. Fleetwood Mac's already in, I would imagine, right? I have the list in front of me here of all
they
the...
They are, yes.
But her solo stuff, I mean, I know Joan Cusack in School of Rock would vote for her. I know that much. And I've already said Todd Rundgren. I can't believe he's never been nominated, and I can't believe he's not in. So I would say yes to Todd Rundgren immediately. Put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now. LL Cool J, he's been nominated 4 times. I think LL needs to be in, right? He can represent, you know, because they usually have one or two hip hop artists that go
typically.
In. He needs to go in, man. You know. Kraftwerk, we've talked about, yes. Janet Jackson, I guess yes.
I would go Janet over before LL.
You would go Janet before LL?
Just in terms of body of work. I mean, because like another criteria from like the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Can I name 3 songs by that band, you know, by that person,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like I can name a lot more Janet Jackson songs than I can name LL.
I guess,
Cool J's
yeah,
songs.
Yeah. MC5, we already talked about. They should be in. Radiohead, yes. Rage Against the Machine, no. I would say no. I'm not a fan of Rage Against the Machine, kind of at all. But I still don't think they should be in there. Do you?
They would be a cusp band for me.
Yeah.
Like I think I. Again, you know, obviously there's many ways you can play these things. It's like if you go with the baseball analogy of like, were they one of the best bands when they were doing their thing?
Yeah.
They definitely were. And
that
15-year stretch, they would have been one of the first 5 bands you listed when you were talking about that era.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, just when you read that name, I didn't automatically say yes.
Right. Yeah. Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. I love them. Is Chaka Khan in solo? I would have to look that up.
Chaka is not in solo.
Okay, so this would be a chance to get Chaka Khan into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I guess, yeah. The Cure? I can't believe The Cure are not in. I don't know why I think that. I mean, I don't know necessarily that they should be in, but I'm surprised they're not.
I'm surprised they're not as well.
And then The Zombies, which I'm also surprised they're not in either. But it's, you know, there's a band who's been around forever. That's a band that I would have thought was in, but they're not. So All right. We'll talk more about it and talk about some of the other inductees from the past. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We want to hear from you. Talk and text. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame talk right here on 720 WGN. It'll continue after the news, which is next. 563 area code says it's the theme song to Corner Gas, performed by Craig Northey and the Odds. Ran in the morning on WGN a few years back. It was a show called Corner Gas?
Yep.
The hell is that?
It's a corner gas station.
All of a sudden wackiness ensues?
I would guess, based upon that theme song, yes.
So it's do we know who was in it? It wasn't a reality show, was it?
No. It was a sitcom. I did not recognize any of the actors. Brent Butt? Gabriel Miller.
Wait a minute. The guy's name is Brent Butt?
Yep. Fred Eumannick, Eric Peterson, Janet Wright, Lauren Cardinal,
and Brent Butt,
Tara Spencer Nairn, Nancy Robertson, and that completes our cast.
Any relation is Brent Butt? Any relation to Bertha Butt?
I don't know, but Brent is the creator of the show.
Oh, Brent Butt created the show.
Yes,
from the creative mind of Brent Butt. We have to find out if he's related to Bertha Butt. Bertha Butt Boogie, man. Boom, boom, bubba-dum, ba-dum, boom, boom, bubba-dum.
Brent is Canadian.
Oh, it's a Canadian. Which is a Canadian building.
Yeah.
So it's one of them there Canadian. It's a Degrassi thing. Right? Is that,
yes.
That's what it is?
Yes. Set in a corner gas station.
Set in a corner gas station. Well, we could have figured that out from the title, right?
He recently won the Sir Peter Ustinov Award.
What?
Recognized for his significant body of comedic work at the World Television Festival in Banff, Alberta.
Wait a second. Wait. Hold on a second. They're giving him an award named after Peter Ustinov for comedy?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when I think comedy, I think Peter Ustinov. Okay, that's just, all of this is weird. Everything about this is just weird.
Butt is married to his Corner Gas co-star Nancy Robertson, who apparently did not take his last name.
She's not Nancy Butt?
It's far, not publicly, at least.
Is it B-U-T-T?
B-U-T-T, yes.
I don't even know, man.
He wrote the 2013 film No Clue.
Also Canadian, I would imagine.
Canadian dark comedy starring Amy Smart.
Oh, Amy Smart. She used to be on Felicity. Amy Smart. I like Amy Smart. Is she Canadian? I didn't know if she was. All right. Fans of Degrassi and Drake, you should be very, very pleased about this.
Amy's born in Topanga, California.
Ah, okay. So she's not Canadian. Just took some work there. Amy Smart. All right. She was in one of them early 2000 sexy booby movies. Which one was she in? Was she in Road Trip?
She was in Road Trip.
Okay, that's the one that I thought it was. Road Trip.
Interesting paired couples here. Smart married TV carpenter Carter Oosterhaus.
He's a carpenter and house is in his name?
Correct. Oosterhaus.
Wow. Okay. Brent Butt. I have to follow the career of Brent Butt now. I'm fascinated.
Award-winning career.
Award-winning. Hey, by the way, Morgan's graphics are working this morning for weather.
That's good.
Good for her. She doesn't have to use a pen and paper anymore. All right, Corner Gas, everybody. I hope we've turned you on to the new Brent Butt work. Oh man. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We would like to hear from you about your thoughts about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. The actual inductees will be announced in December. The ceremony will happen on March 29th. You can watch it on HBO and listen to it on Sirius XM. And you can vote. By the way, if you want to vote, Here's the deal. To be eligible, an individual artist or band must have released its first commercial recording at least 25 years prior to the year of nomination. And fans will once again have the opportunity to vote for their favorites. So if you want to vote for your favorite, you can visit rockhall.com. That's R-O-C-K-H-A-L-L, rockhall.com, through December 9th to cast your votes for who you believe is the most deserving of induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Then the top five artists, as selected by the public, will comprise a fans ballot that will be tallied along with the other ballots to choose the 2019 inductees, and then voting is capped at one ballot per day. And here are the nominees. I'll repeat them, and we've discussed who we think should be brought in and who shouldn't and all that stuff. So for the first time, nominees: Def Leppard, Devo, John Prine, Roxy Music, Stevie Nicks, and Todd Rundgren. LL Cool J and Kraftwerk. This is the fourth time they've been nominated. And the other nominees include Janet Jackson, MC5, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, The Cure, and The Zombies. What do you think of that? Let's see. We got some texts coming in. 312-981. 312, I think it's great that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees make both The Zombies and The Cure. Sounds like a movie in the making. Oh, see, I get it. Zombie and Cure, see? Oh, hold on a minute. Wait just a second now.
All right.
See, because usually there's a cure. You try to find a cure to the zombie outbreak. 815 area code said, Foreigner? They're not in the hall. Foreigner is not in the Hall of Fame. I'm not surprised by that. Quite frankly, I'm not. You know who's upset about it? Andy Herman. And did you know Andy Herman loved Foreigner?
I did know that.
Yeah. 262 area code. Stevie Nicks, John Prine, Todd Rundgren. Yes. Rage Against Vernon Hills. No. That's what I lovingly call Rage Against the Machine. I call it Rage Against Vernon Hills because what's his face is from Vernon Hills, right?
Tom Morello.
Tom Morello's from Vernon Hills. There's so much stuff to rage against in Vernon Hills. You grew up in Vernon Hills. You grew up raging. That's what I think. 419 area code. Three Dog Night. They're in, right? Let's look up Three Dog Night. They've got to be in. But they, you know what? When they get if they get inducted, they won't play their own stuff. I can tell you that right now.
I don't think they're in.
Wow. Okay. Three Dog Night, we don't think is in. There was a period of time when Three Dog Night was, without question, the biggest band on the planet. If you were around in the early 70s, it was ridiculous how big they were. Hit records all over the place, sold out concerts in giant venues. They were massive. Three Dog Night was a massive band. And they were great. They were a great band. Three Dog Night was fantastic. They also had the good sense to hook themselves up with really good songwriters. Like, they had great, Randy Newman wrote for them, Paul Williams wrote for them. They were very good at selecting songs and songwriters and doing a good job with them. Did a couple of songs from Hair. 312 area code says, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sounds like a farce. Not very selective. Wow. Sounds like a farce. So the first inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame were in 1986. And again, you had to be 25 years to be inducted. So there's a reason why the Beatles aren't on this list. Because it had to be 25 years. So when would they be? Because their first album was in 62, right? So 25 years, then they would be 62 or 63? 63? Or 6?
They got in 88, so I assume their first 63. Ballot, so 63.
Yeah, no, yeah, of course their first ballot. Are you kidding me? We're not going to pick the Beatles. Let's wait a couple of more ballots for the Beatles to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah, no, the Beatles can wait. They're not important enough. All right. Why don't we take a quick break here? I got the weather for you. And then we'll come back. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. We'll talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, its inductees. And again, I want to hear your thoughts on the nominees for 2019. I also have the AMA award thing that happened. We can go through some of that. If you watch that, you can call me up. 312-981-7200. Okay, here is your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Today, mostly cloudy and humid with showers and thunderstorms likely and a high of 77. Tonight, storms ending and turning much colder with a low around 48. Time to get those snuggies out. Right, Dan? It's turning into snuggies weather.
That is true.
For tomorrow, partly cloudy and a high of 51. For Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 50. For Saturday, partly cloudy and a high of 56. It is currently 73 degrees at O'Hare, 74 at Midway, 72 at the lakefront. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, more Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and music talk. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Kathy requesting Loudon Wainwright III with Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road. Yeah, man. All right. So, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were just talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2019 nominees. They were announced on Tuesday. And Def Leppard, Devo, John Prine, Roxy Music, Stevie Nicks, Todd Rundgren, LL Cool J, Kraftwerk, Janet Jackson, MC5, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus, featuring Chaka Khan, The Cure, and The Zombies. And you can vote for your favorites all the way through December 9th at rockhall.com. So the very first inductees, it was 1986 was the first. And Chuck Berry, James Brown, Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, Fats Domino, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley, Little Richard. And then early influence nominees were inductees were Robert Johnson, Jimmy Rogers, and Jimmy Yancey. And then lifetime achievement went to John Hammond, and non-performer went to Alan Freed and Sam Phillips. Alan Freed, of course, the DJ that pretty much invented the term rock and roll and played it when nobody else was playing it. And Sam Phillips, obviously, the classic head of Sun Records and, producer. In 87, it was the Coasters, Eddie Cochran, Bo Diddley, Aretha Franklin, Marvin Gaye, Bill Haley, B.B. King, Clyde McFadder, Ricky Nelson, Roy Orbison, Carl Perkins, Smokey Robinson, Big Joe Turner, Muddy Waters, Jackie Wilson. And then the early influences were Louis Jordan, T-Bone Walker, Hank Williams. And then non-performers included Leonard Chess and Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller and Jerry Wexler. And then in 88, the Beach Boys, the Beatles, the Drifters, Bob Dylan, the Supremes. Early influences included inductees Woody Guthrie, Lead Belly, Les Paul, and then a non-performer was Berry Gordy Jr. So those were some of the early ones, and here are some of the more recent ones. Like, we talk about it every year, actually, but this was last year. Last year's inductees for 2018 were Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi, The Moody Blues, The Cars, Dire Straits, and Nina Simone. And Sister Rosetta Tharpe was the nominee for early influence, or is the inductee for early influence. So we had a lot of fun making fun of those choices last year. Jovi got in before Devo, Dan. Jovi got in before Todd Rundgren, got in before MC5. You know what I'm talking about here? You see a pattern?
Yeah, I mean, but again, if you're looking at it of give me five song titles.
Yeah.
You know, more people would be able to give you five song titles of Bon Jovi songs than
I know, but that's just
And I was thinking about it, they probably opened the door for Def Leppard. You know what I mean? I mean that little crack is now open for bands like Def Leppard.
Yeah, no, that's true because it was the Slippery When Wet came out. Well, no, because Pyromania came out in 83. And that's about 4 years before Slippery When Wet. Because when I saw them get booed off the stage. I saw Bon Jovi get booed off the stage in 82, maybe? And Pyromania came out in 83, because when I saw Scorpions, and then Bon Jovi opened up for them at the Rosemont Horizon, and they got booed off the stage. They're like, get the hell off the stage. Get out of here. Bring out the crazy German guys. I've said this before. Scorpions, who are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I don't necessarily think they deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But if you look at pictures, 90% of the pictures of the guys in the Scorpions, they have their mouths wide open. It's like, like every time you would, if you would just do like, especially, I mean, only like if they're on stage performing, mouths wide open. Like, it looks like they're screaming all the time. Every time you look at a picture of the Scorpions, it looks like they're screaming all the time. Klaus Meine screaming. So, let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Lake Geneva Dan sends in his thoughts here for talk and text. Call us or text us right now. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stuff. I own every John Prine and Steve Goodman album, but I don't consider them rock and roll. Well, that's another thing, Dan, that we've talked about. Not Lake Geneva Dan. You, Dan, who's sitting here in front of me. Not
you too, Lake Geneva Dan.
And you too, Lake Geneva Dan. Oh, in fact, all Dans.
Yes. Feinberg.
Haggerty. I don't know why. He passed away. He can't be here. He can't listen.
Right now. I mean, you know. I'm sure they have radio in heaven. Probably really good reception, actually.
I bet it's great reception. this whole thing about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right. I mean, people could argue LL Cool J. You know, John Prine's another one that doesn't necessarily play rock and roll, but that doesn't, you know, I'm like for instance, Joan Baez got inducted in 2017. She's a folk singer. It's not rock and roll. She doesn't play rock and roll, but it encompasses, you know what I mean, popular music.
It should really be named the Music Hall.
It should be. I totally agree with you. I totally agree. And country's another thing, you know, like all the country artists that have been nominated or brought in. Dan in Michigan says, hi, Nick, not a fan of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Both Judas Priest and Iron Maiden have been around for over 40 years. They've sold 50 million albums, legendary bands, but neither get recognized by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Not cool. Does the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have like sort of a bias for metal? I mean, I know Sabbath's in, but it took a long time to get Sabbath in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Sabbath should have been in first ballot. Black Sabbath is one of the most important bands in the history of music. And it took more than, I think it took a long time for Sabbath to get nominated, or for them to get inducted, which is absolutely crazy because that's a first ballot inductee if there ever was one. 815 area code says, are the Ides of March in? And no, they are not. But back in 2017, ELO was inducted. Joan Baez, Journey. A lot of people argue about Journey, but I don't. I think I love them. Pearl Jam. Dan, Pearl Jam first ballot, right?
I believe so.
2017, 25. Yeah, it's got to be first ballot, right? Yeah, it's got to be. They were first ballot. Tupac Shakur and Yes. Those were from 2017. So it's fun to go back and look at when they got nominated. Somebody complained that Joan Jett and the Blackhearts weren't inducted, but they are. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts is, somebody complained on my Facebook page. It's like, how can you not have Joan Jett and the Blackhearts in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? They are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they absolutely deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, and if I remember, I watched the, you know how they have the big jam and the big, when all the bands come out and perform, or when the bands, you know, when they get inducted, they come out and perform. Joan Jett killed. Joan Jett destroyed that episode. So, all right, let's take a break. We got the news coming up, and then if you guys want to jump in here, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame talk. What do you think of the nominees? And also, the American Music Awards were last night, so we're doing some music talk here. Phone and text lines are open at 312-981-7200. News next. That's we got a TV theme. That's two TV theme songs for Wildcard Wednesday this morning, Dan. That is the theme song from The Time Tunnel. 301 area code. Can you tell me who composed that? Because it sounds like the same. It sounds almost exactly like Lost in Space. And I'm trying to remember who the composer was of Lost in Space. And Time Tunnel. And there was another one that Land of the Giants, I think, probably had the same sort of music. Those are all like mid to late 60s. Sci-fi adventure shows that where the music all sounded exactly the same.
Sounds like the Jetsons too.
The Jetsons, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Time Tunnel. Mary, did you ever watch Time Tunnel?
I think I did, because I remember the music.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah.
I used to. What about Lost in Space? Yeah,
oh, definitely.
Come on, Dr. Smith. Oh, oh no, take the boy, not me.
It's awesome.
I just, Dr. Smith, man.
Talk about anxiety.
Oh, that guy. I was like, oh no, no. Shut up, robot. What now? What we?
How about this? Time Tunnel composer?
Yeah.
Not afternoon host John Williams.
Oh, John Williams,
John Williams.
Yeah. Did he do the music for Lost in Space then? That was John Williams, John Williams. Wow. You know, somebody wrote an article about Star Wars and says that after George Lucas, the only reason that Star Wars, besides George Lucas, who's owed the most thanks for the greatness of Star Wars? John Williams.
You can see that.
You can, yeah.
And yes, John Williams composed the Lost in Space theme.
Yeah.
And both shows were Irwin Allen
Productions. Yeah, there you go. Lost in Space, man. I loved that show.
I loved the fake rocks.
Yeah. Oh, everything. The sets were so cheap.
Oh, it was terrible.
And the makeup and the special effects were awful. But when I was a kid, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And it's another one of those shows that started out black and white and became color. Because I remember the old black and white episodes. And, you know, in the original idea was to have Dr. Smith be just an actual villain, like a bad guy trying to sabotage everything that the family does. But then he just turned into a cartoon character. Oh, no, look at the beast. Oh, no. All right. We were talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, Mary, I saw a post that you put up last night on your Facebook page.
I never post anything.
Yeah,
I couldn't take it.
You were watching
anymore.
The AMAs. Now you and I are close to around the same age.
Yeah, I'm older than you.
Yeah, but I don't think by much. Yeah. I think we're pretty close.
Yeah,
and,
a couple years.
And so, yeah, you know, every time I watch any of these award shows, especially like the music ones, the MTV video.
Or video. Oh,
those, yeah. I don't know what the hell's happened.
I don't even watch that one anymore.
So the AMAs were last night, and I really didn't even realize it. I guess I hadn't been paying attention to ABC.
It was not advertised. I don't know. My husband actually told me it was on.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was on.
So the big winners were Taylor Swift, Kane Brown, Camila Cabello, and more.
I don't know. I went to bed.
Now, but you posted something about Cardi B. What was it?
I just don't get her. I just, she talks like she's, you know, just totally stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's, you know, I know she's just some big, you know, big now with, you know, rap and everything, and everybody wants to sing with her and do a duet and all that. But what's with her?
I don't know.
She's not, to me, she just talks things, you know, that's what rap is anyway. And I know it's difficult to do, but it doesn't sound like it's difficult.
Well, I don't, you know, here's what I know. I don't know much about Cardi B, okay? I really don't.
I really don't either.
When I've seen her on like talk shows and stuff, and she does weird stuff with her voice and makes weird sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I've only seen her perform once and I was not impressed. But she won. She was nominated for 8 awards.
Yes.
And so was Drake. She was tied with Drake. The winners were Taylor Swift was the artist of the year, and apparently she's, you know, over the past few days, have gotten very political, Taylor Swift.
And did you see Taylor Swift's opening number?
No, I didn't watch it.
I didn't even know it was Taylor Swift.
Oh, really?
Like halfway through the song.
Oh, is that right?
When they posted hashtag Taylor Swift in the corner.
It
is Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's Taylor Swift.
Because it just didn't look like her.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it was, your new hairdo, and I don't know. I wasn't thrilled with her new stuff either.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan.
Neither am I.
But I just know that Cardi B is, you know, having this big spat with Nicki Minaj.
Right.
They
went after each other was it the Met thing?
Yes.
In New York? Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. And they went after each other and they had to be pulled apart.
Right. Yeah. So I knew that, you know, but everything I know about her is controversial. So
right.
I don't know. I couldn't.
She just had a baby.
I did know that. And she had to tell everybody that, too.
Yeah.
Knew she had a baby. And then this guy Post Malone comes out.
Right. Tattoo face.
No idea who he is.
Yeah. Post Malone. I thought it was a breakfast cereal when I first heard it. Yeah, and he's tattoo man. He's
and
got
so
a tattoo.
Did Tracy Ellis Ross. She was like, "Oh, was there a pre Malone? Was there?"
she was the host.
She was the host.
Oh, I like her, man.
Yeah, she's all right. Yeah. She's everywhere.
Yeah. Well, she's so. Do you ever watch Black-ish?
No, I've watched a couple.
She's really good on that show.
Yeah, she's very funny.
Yeah,
I mean, she was okay.
And her mom, she's Diana Ross. So you know that's.
And then her brother is famous too, and he was out. He gave out an award last night.
Did he really? Okay.
Yeah. All so, right. You know, I was trying to get in with the program, but
you just couldn't.
I just felt so old. And then Mariah Carey. I'm like, oh, good, Mariah Carey. At least I know her.
Yeah.
And you know, Mariah Carey never moves anymore when she sings. Did you notice that?
No.
She doesn't move. Her whole body just stays in one place. So she's singing this song, and these guys are dancing all around her in like this flower petal type of choreography on the ground. They came out of some feathers or some clothing that was draped around her and her feet.
Oh, I see.
She did not move. She sang her song in one place, you know, flicking her hair and all this stuff. And the guys just did their little. It was kind of like. The swimmers, you know.
Yeah, yeah, like Busby Berkeley, kind of a Busby.
Very Busby Berkeley, yeah. The whole thing. I was like, what is going on?
Wow.
I go, is somebody going to, like, actually pick her up and move her after this? Because I don't think she can move.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this. The big winner last night, though, was Taylor Swift. She was the big winner. And I don't even know. Some of these artists I'm looking at, I don't know. I have no idea who they are.
And she gave a good speech.
But Cardi B did win Best Rap Hip Hop Artist of the Year.
I saw her get an award early.
Yeah. Well, she won Favorite Song Rap Hip Hop.
That's the one, yes.
She won that. I guess Post Malone also won for Favorite Album. You know what the name of Post Malone's album is, Mary?
Oh, something real weird. I remember. No, I don't remember.
It's Beer Bongs and Bentleys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Beer Bongs and Bentleys. Yeah.
He had a very nice little genuine speech, too.
He did.
Taylor Swift did, too, because she thanked her musicians. She thanked everybody that works backstage for her, even the drivers of the semis that drive all her music.
Oh, well, that's good.
Instruments around.
And now she's getting all political now.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out for the Democrats. And did you see that they stopped Trump when he was walking from the, I think that's the helicopter into the back of the White House. And he was walking and they go, you know, he finishes answering the questions. He turns around, he starts to walk away. And one of the reporters goes, hey, how do you feel about Taylor Swift getting political? And he had his back to the crowd. But as soon as he heard Taylor Swift, he swung around.
Yeah.
And he goes, what did she say? And the reporter goes, he said that she wants everybody to vote for Democrats. And then there's a pause and Trump goes, well, let's just say, well, how do you feel about that? He goes, let's just say I like her music about 25% less now.
Like, gotta get that percentage in there.
What does that mean? What does that even mean?
Oh, that is hilarious.
So anyway, well, I didn't watch any of it, but when I saw your post, I was like, yeah, I would probably feel exactly the same way as Mary while watching it.
Yeah. I wanted to watch the Aretha Franklin tribute because I didn't make it.
Oh, of course
that,
they did it. They did an Aretha Franklin tribute.
Yes,
that makes sense.
And that would have been good. So yeah. I did tape that. So
okay. All right. It. Well, have you heard about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
You got Def Leppard, Devo, John Prine, Roxy Music, Stevie Nicks, Todd Rundgren, LL Cool J, Kraftwerk, Janet Jackson, MC5, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, The Cure, and The Zombies.
The only one I'm really excited about is Todd Rundgren.
See, me too. That's the first.
The only one I'm really excited about.
That's the first
one. Janet Jackson, I don't think so. Stevie Nicks, yes, but she's already in with Fleetwood Mac,
right.
So it's kind of weird.
Right. Right. You know, and the other ones that I thought were, for me, Devo, I think, needs to be
yes,
in.
Yes. Oh, yes, Devo.
And Dan and I were talking Radiohead and MC5 are both pretty important bands, too. But the first one that popped into my head, like, I can't believe Todd Rundgren's not already inducted.
I thought he was, too.
Yeah. I mean, that just makes no sense whatsoever. So, anyway. All right. Well, thanks, Mayor, for
sure.
You felt old for me last night. I didn't watch it.
I feel old again.
Okay, good. All right. That's Mary. She's in traffic all morning long. Let's take a break here for weather, and then we'll come back and wrap up the discussion about music, the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And if you watched the AMAs last night, give me your impression of what you thought was going on. I didn't watch it. Mary felt old. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. You know what's really funny, Dan, about what you just played?
What's that?
Okay, we're wrapping up Wild Card Wednesday. You may welcome Wednesday. 630 area code. Miss, I don't even know how to. Muskrogsky's Great Gate of Kiev by the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. And the 630 area code is listening to us via the video stream in Vienna, Austria. Well, thank you for that. Oh, you're waving because they're watching the video. Oh, I see. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Because I thought maybe something was wrong. But you're waving to Vienna. I should do that, too, because I'm on camera. Hi. So anyway, that as soon as you started playing it, I thought it was a wrestling fan who requested it. You know why?
Why is that?
That's the entrance theme to Jerry the King Lawler.
Ah, really?
Yes. So that's why I thought, oh, it's a wrestling fan. And then it turns out to be someone from Vienna, Austria. Did I say Vienna, Australia? I did, didn't I?
I think you said Austria.
Oh, did I? Okay. Well, Vienna, Austria, because there is no Vienna, Australia, unless they sell meat products in Australia. Anyway, yeah, so I thought for sure that that was like a wrestling fan going, yeah, it's the king. That's Jerry the King Lawler's entrance music. That's what they play when the king enters. Oh, boy. All right. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We've been talking about music. The American Music Awards were handed out last night. The nominees for this year's inductees, the 2019 inductees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame were announced. We discussed that. And if you want to jump in on any of this music stuff, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all of that, 312-981-7200. Coming up is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. So from the past few years, the inductees, you know, I like watching the HBO version when they show all the bands getting inducted, and I especially like it when the big jam at the end when all of the inductees come out and jam together. I always thought that was a lot of fun. Earth, Wind, and Fire, they were inducted in 2000, and deservedly so. And that was the same year as the Moonglows, Lovin' Spoonful, Eric Clapton, Bonnie Raitt, and James Taylor. 2001, Aerosmith, Solomon Burke, The Flamingos, Michael Jackson, Queen, Paul Simon, Steely Dan, and Richie Valens were all brought in. That seems like a long time for Michael Jackson, right? To 2001? Wouldn't you think that Michael Jackson would have been inducted earlier than that?
Yeah, that is surprising.
That is really surprising. 2002, Isaac Hayes, Brenda Lee, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Gene Pitney, the Ramones, the Talking Heads. 2003, AC/DC, The Clash, Elvis Costello and the Attractions, The Police, and The Righteous Brothers. Wow, that was a good year. That was a good year, man. AC/DC, The Clash, Elvis Costello, The Attractions, The Police, and The Righteous Brothers. Strong inductees that year. 2004, Jackson Browne, The Dells, George Harrison, Prince, Bob Seger, and Traffic, and ZZ Top. Buddy Guy in 2005, The OJs, The Pretenders, Percy Sledge, and U2. That had to be U2's. They had to be first ballot. They had to be, right? 2005, because their first album was, what, 80? 80, 81? Well, that would make sense. 80, it would be 80. Yeah. The Pretenders, yes, of course, should be in. 2006, Black Sabbath. See, this is what I'm talking about. 2006, Black Sabbath gets inducted? Really? Blondie, Miles Davis, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and the Sex Pistols. I'm sure that 2007, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, REM, the Ronettes, Patti Smith, and Van Halen. I remember when Van Halen. I remember the Van Halen. Dan, did you watch that one with Van Halen?
I did not.
Because idiot David Lee Roth was they were there and they were talking about like how they were going to have a reunion after that, and I think they did for a little while, and then then David Lee Roth went nuts again. 2009, Jeff Beck, Little Anthony and the Imperials, Metallica, Run DMC, Bobby Womack. In 2010, ABBA, Genesis, Jimmy Cliff, The Hollies, and The Stooges. ABBA. See, now that's not rock and roll. We can understand that, right? 2011, Alice Cooper. Again, that took too long, right? 2011 Alice Cooper gets inducted? Man, come on. Neil Diamond? It took till 2011 for Neil Diamond to get... What was this, the year that people who should have been inducted a long time ago got inducted year? Dr. John? No. Darlene Love and Tom Waits. 2012, Beastie Boys, the Blue Caps, the Comets, the Crickets, Donovan, the Famous Flames, Guns N' Roses, the Midnighters, the Miracles, Laura Nero, Red Hot Chili Peppers, the Small Faces and Faces. What was that, like, let's induct everybody year? Wow. I didn't know the Red Hot Chili Peppers were... Did you know the Red Hot Chili Peppers were in the Hall of Fame?
I did, because it was kind of like, do they really need to be there?
Yeah. Maybe I just, like, selectively forgot that they were in there. 2013, Rush. Yeah, man, Rush! Heart, Randy Newman, Public Enemy, Donna Summer, Albert King. Ooh, that's a good year. That's a solid year right there. 2014, Peter Gabriel, Hall & Oates, Kiss, Nirvana, Linda Ronstadt, Cat Stevens. And he was inducted as Cat Stevens.
Right, but yeah.
And he played too.
Right.
He was great. Cat Stevens was great, man. And then 2015, Green Day, Paul Butterfield Blues Band, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Lou Reed, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble, and Bill Withers. Oh.
K-Pal
was watching. And 2016, Cheap Trick, baby. Chicago, represent right there, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Purple, Steve Miller, and NWA. And that was it. You know who dominated that performance?
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick, man. They were unbelievable.
847 wants to know when Flicker Stick's getting in.
Oh, man. You know, I posted my comments, you know, when they announced this yesterday on my Facebook page. I was like, no Warren Zevon, no peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's my chant, no Warren Zevon, no peace. Warren Zevon needs to be a first ballot inductee immediately. The fact that he's not even been nominated is the most ridiculous thing of all time. But so I was posting my thoughts, and one of my regulars who comes to the film club and who is also a flashback guy, a horror maniac named Kyle, he posted, because I posted comments and people were posting comments about other bands that haven't been inducted. I mean, basically what we've been talking about here. And he just posted, he said, what about this? And he posted a picture of Saga. Hey, they're not even in the Canadian Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is a crime.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. Didn't we looked it up.
Oh, because we looked up because...
Yeah.
Yeah, because
they're not even in the Canadian Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, one of the greatest Canadian bands of all Canadians. All right. Well,
Puerto
there
Rico
you go.
Hall of Fame though.
They're what?
They're in the Puerto Rico Hall.
That's
of Fame.
Exactly. And they're in my Hall of Fame. All right. Let's break here. The news is coming up next. Tomorrow, Dan Feinberg for his biweekly visit, Hollywood reporter, TV critic, and we'll talk TV and more. All right. Break, news next.